the opinions you love, the history you crave. This is Rant FM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
I swear to God, I'm going to ruin a wet dream with doing this audio shit. Ladies and gentlemen and lowlifes, welcome to another edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on the Rant Network, www.rantemradio.com. I am your host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and now I got to bring Mega Powers in because I can't get him on while I'm queuing the music up. I have no idea. Mega Powers, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dude, I can't, for some reason, I couldn't play the music and you at the same time. It makes no
sense. About that.
I have no idea. I have to fix it. But, ladies and gentlemen, as always, my tag team partner in crime.
Bigger, badder, and better. It's the Mega Powers.
That's right. Dave asked for the Ricky Steamboat music. We had the whole WrestleMania 3 Coliseum video pre-show to get you guys hyped up for tonight. Thank you for everybody in the chat room. Of course, we are a Shining Wizards Network production, www.shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, bro?
I am busy, extremely busy, just keeping stuff going on, keeping it tight. How's the new venture doing?
Things are going good. I'm busy as well. That's why I couldn't make it for the Raw chat last couple nights ago.
Yeah, it's all right. You didn't miss. No, I mean, they held it down. And you
it
know,
like, what was it, Main Event or Superstars seem action packed more than Raw, from what I could tell.
Right. You know what? I don't know. Again, I don't get to watch Raw anymore until I get home. I get home like around 10 o'clock. So I don't get to, I have to watch it on. So I try not to look at Facebook because, I put the Raw thread in and then the thread just blows up.
Yeah.
So, and it's great that we have all this activity in the chat room, but for some reason I can't get it going. So, but I get home and, we'll get into, I'm not even going to get into Raw that much tonight because it's really, really, really light on the news. Dave and I have a huge couple of throwbacks this week and the next 2 weeks. We're going to go down the line, WrestleMania 3 tonight, my favorite, which was 2 next week, and then the Mothership, which was 1 that started the whole shenanigans. Almost 30 years ago. And, we did it that way only because, there's so many to choose from, and this is our first full year doing this, and we figured let's knock it out.
And also, it's the 30th, you know, year of WrestleMania. So why not, you know, revisit, you know, the first, you know, couple?
Yeah, the
first. We already did four before.
Yeah, we did four because we liked four. And that's the.
It's like these are the first, like, in my opinion, the first eight are the best ones.
And
nine was okay. Ten was fantastic. I enjoyed 10.
I was at 10. I was in the other room at 10 at the Felt Forum, whatever you want to call it, the Paramount, because I couldn't get in. But I mean, okay. I mean, we're the you know, we're the new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, so we could do shit like that, you know. So it is what it is. So
yeah,
there's not much going on in news. Here's the format tonight. We're gonna take we're gonna do some news. Our buddy George from uptown wanted to call in tonight. He wanted to give us a Carlos Colon story since Carlos Colon is getting into the Hall of Fame, as well as Mr. T as announced on Monday night. I'll get Dave's feelings on that in a second, and then we'll go into WrestleMania 3. We'll take some calls, and we'll have a good show as always, and we want to thank everybody for their support and all that nonsense, you know.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too, Mega Powers. All right.
Not you, them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were feeling...
I tolerate you, Phil.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, pal. All right. WWE.com confirmed earlier today that Daniel Bryan suffered a shoulder injury as a result of being handcuffed by Triple H in the final moments of Raw.
And the fake cops.
Yeah, the fake cops. Medical sources confirmed that as a result of the COO's attack, Bryan's previous shoulder injury stemming from several matches with several superstars was severely exacerbated, including a dislocation and potential ligament tears. Level of damage obviously cannot be determined until the swelling goes down. And Bryan has since left the hospital, and he'll receive an MRI once the swelling has gone down. If he's legit hurt, that's going to mess up an ass ton of stuff at Mania, but I doubt he's hurt. And knowing him, he'll probably play through it.
They didn't have, like, the bendable Sting bats or anything while they were beating him up on Monday?
Sting. No, the bendable bats. I don't think the cops were real, by the way. You're right.
Yeah. Big cops. He even said it on the.
Oh,
on
yeah. The yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And you're not even real cops or something like that. I don't know.
We spoke about the. What do you call it? The 20-man battle. The 20-man over the top rope battle royal for the Andre the Giant trophy.
Yeah.
The memorial battle royal. I'm sorry. Well, it's going to come out on SmackDown. It came out on SmackDown's tapings last night. Here is the potential lineup. I don't know. You got Big E, Ryback. First of all, why is Big E not defending the IC title in fucking Mania? That just baffles me.
Because he's in the Battle Royal.
That doesn't make any sense, though. Every belt should be showcased on WrestleMania.
Oh, come on. Last year, you should know by now that, you know, only the World WWE Championship is going to be defended. That's all that matters. The Intercontinental title is a pre-show.
I apologize. It is 20 out of 30 names were announced on SmackDown last night. I had a typo here in my notes.
Some noise. I'm going to try to log into the chat. I don't know if we're going to be playing back.
Don't click on. You can go into the chat. Just don't click on the live thing. You get that feedback because on the last episode, I heard your entire fucking broadcast. So on the break. So don't play. Don't.
Hey, it's good.
No, you can't do that because we haven't worked the audio out yet, so don't do that. So, yeah, go into the chat room.
I like hearing my own voice.
I don't like hearing it on the playback, you tool, because you don't listen to your own show. I don't know why you don't, but anyway, 20 out of the 30 names.
Because I'm on the show, that's why. Because,
well, never mind.
I know what I said.
I
I stand by it.
You're a dick. All right. All right, so Big E's in it, Ryback, Curtis Axel, Fandango, Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Titus O'Neil, ADR, Damian Sandow, Christian, Big Slow, Mark Henry, Heath Slater, Drew McIntyre, Jinder My Balls. Shout out to Don Tony, by the way. Cody Rhodes, Gold Dust, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and Rey Mysterio. So, there you have it. 20 out of the 30 names were announced.
That's a lot of guys.
Well, those outside of Big E, nobody else has a match yet at Mania, so you got to fill up time somehow, you know? It's 4 hours or whatever it is.
Got to give those 100 guys that are on the payroll something to, you know, get some money for.
Yeah, this ain't WCW, son. You know,
yeah.
You ain't staying home and getting paid. Not on my dollar.
You know, you got to get in that ring for about, you know, 30 seconds, 10 minutes maybe. Right. And then earn your pay.
Right, exactly. Earn your keep.
Don't be a fucking Lanny Poffo sitting around at home for a year getting paid.
And that's a good segue, partner. Speaking of sitting home, CM Punk. I know the guys on the Facebook page. I caught my picture yesterday. I am a huge New York hardcore fan. Anybody who knows me, I grew up in the scene. It's my favorite kind of music, next to old school hip hop and R&B. CM Punk was spotted in a recording studio with Toby Morse from H2O doing guest vocals on the upcoming Madball CD, which is due out this summer. Anybody who's a hardcore, a punk rock fan, you want to get into some New York hardcore, these are the bands you want to pick up. H2O, Madball. I've been going to their shows since high school.
The greats of the 90s.
I have personal ties with the Madball band. They're great. I actually had Thanksgiving dinner with them one year, and Toby, even though he didn't eat anything because he's a fucking vegan. But they're nice guys. The scene, it was a wonderful thing back in the day. And, you know, again, CM Punk is keeping busy. So.
Hey, he's got to do.
Yeah, no. I mean,
something, I guess.
The new, first of all, Madball has never disappointed me, so I'm sure whatever he's on is gonna be good anyway. Just him doing backup vocals anyway. So you're not really gonna hear him showcase his, you know, his talent. I could see him starting a band though. I could, because he's into the scene. He knows everybody. So I could see him doing something like that.
Well, hey, he had friggin' Lars from Rancid all over his documentary. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
And what was it? Lars was like front row at WrestleMania a few years back.
He most certainly was. He most certainly was. All right. I did mention anybody who streams the network through Xbox 360 is now they're now able to watch ECW and WCW pay-per-view live events on the network. Both categories are in the vault listings under shows. I wouldn't stream anything through a game system. I mean, I have the app downloaded to the PlayStation 3, but I'm still using it through my Apple TV and my computer, so.
Yeah, I've been having, I watch it through PS3, and during the live stream in particular, it'll, how can I word it? It'll, like, play the last 3 seconds back occasionally. I don't know if that's just me or what, but like just throughout like what was last night? Last night was main event.
Right.
You know, I got that thing streaming, like there'll be just random points in the show or whatever the hell is showing, and it'll play back like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Again, we haven't done it through the PS3 yet. I've done it through the Apple TV. Michael does it through his little he's got a Kindle HD they call it.
It works fine.
Like a charm, and I've done it through and even on my phone it works really well with the Wi-Fi connection.
I was being a bad boy and watching the network while I was at work today. So
so was I. Show prep, brother. Come on now. Yeah. I got to do show prep. Now, what do you think I get all my show prep done? I do it at work in between saving lives. That's what I do. I save lives and I fucking, you know, do...
Watch a Can-Am Connection match.
Yeah, save lives and watch awful countdown shows. Today today was the worst, well, not the worst, the 10 best backstabbing incidents they had or whatever it was.
Oh.
I don't know, but again, love the network.
Ten best Pearl Harbor jobs.
I was watching some old WCW the other night. I was watching, what the hell was it, from 94. I believe it was. I was watching, I was watching just an ass ton of WCW lately because the kid's been asking me about it. And, you know, we started watching, just to watch this stuff again, man, is awesome.
Well, there's adults that are asking what WCW is.
Yeah, you know what, I was on, I called in on a rant last night, and we'll get into TNA in a second, but I called in on a rant and I told the kid Rage, I'm like, listen, man, you gotta do some homework. You know, you gotta, you know, educate yourself a little more and watch, because you know sometimes when you talk to some young wrestling fans, they haven't known anything but post Attitude Era.
Yeah,
but the Attitude Era is almost 20 years old already, and this kid's 20 years old, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I feel real old now. But
yeah,
like they,
and it all connects to one another. That's the thing.
Yeah, and I told him, I'm like, once the Monday Night Wars come out on the network this summer. Dedicate yourself, you know, watch it in chronological order, most of it. And you know, episode after episode, go back and forth, WCW, you know, TNA, I'm not TNA, WWF and WCW, and watch this stuff and educate yourself, because you're going to see, you know, and I said, you know, if, after Vince brought everything out, you know, everything bottomed out.
Yeah.
And it's watered down. It's like in baseball, the dead ball era, well, basketball and football, kinda, you know.
The wrestling was just kind of getting watered down anyway, because at this point it was just getting so ridiculous. WCW was out of control because you know, it was the Monday Night Wars, and you know, both shows were just doing some god awful shit so they can get the, you know, win the night for the ratings, which is one reason why I don't like the Monday Night Wars. I enjoyed it when it first started because there were so many new things. You know, we talked about ECW rather, and you know, they were doing shit that nobody was doing. And, you know, both organizations were catching on to it, you know, plus like dudes like Mick Foley were getting in trouble for throwing the WCW tag belts on the ground, you know, for a promo. Mean Gene is the one who saw it on TV and ratted him out. And, but it didn't matter, you know, those guys were blowing up, and, you know, WWF had the foresight to bring ECW in for a spell. And that was like, whoa, what the hell's going on here? It was just like, you know, for as long as we've been wrestling fans, you know, each organization was not talking about the other. And when they started talking about each other, they started having, you know, guys from different feds jumping over. Like, it was totally unpredictable. You know, nowadays, you know, you could see things, you know, months ahead of time. Like, we saw this Mania coming towards us, you know, maybe like half a year before it, you know, before it came around. And, you know, it's going to be very hard for things to get, you know, as exciting as they were during the Monday Night Wars. And like you said, like, I don't really know this Rage dude that much, but if he's 20 years old, he's got a lot to catch up on, because being a wrestling fan at that time, like, you know, I hate to say it, but you had to be there.
Yeah, I'm truly showing my age when I say that. And I don't want to sound like the old man in the room, even though I am.
Uh-huh.
But you, Dave's right. You had to have been there.
Yeah, because, and you know, same thing with fucking Lopez when he was going off on his ECW rant when we did, what the fuck did we do?
Well, no, because he wasn't, and
he didn't watch it.
Right, and that's probably the only time, that and the whole stable thing, that I disagree with Lopez, because he's most of the time Dan's on point. Here's the thing, and I told this
most of the time.
No, he is, and I'm not. That's no bullshit, man. It's straight shooting. I don't know, and I told this to the guys last night too on the rant, and I've told this to Eddie and Tony and all the Wizard guys too. I think wrestling fans are not as receptive as they were back in the day. You see that with the numbers. And you see that with and I'm, listen, this is no knock on young wrestling fans. There are some guys out there that are under 30 years old that can throw a lot of shit at you.
Yeah.
Because they're not, and they've studied. Listen, we met last year at a wrestling convention, we met a 13-year-old kid that gave us a 10-minute conversation about Bruiser Brody and Ric Flair, and it was just, it was astounding, to the point where the boys gave him a T-shirt. The kid was amazing. And the kid was smart. He wasn't like one of these kids that just sat around and like watched clips on YouTube and thought he was an expert. The kid read up. The kid was legit studying, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to shit on – I really – because I think, you know, wrestling is a very – and Double A said it last night too. Wrestling is – it's a corner of the bigger picture of entertainment. It's not the best – form of entertainment to everybody else. So when you're a wrestling fan and you find other fans to group up with and you talk about it, now you have social media does it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now it's all over the place. We do it every day. We have Facebook and we're tweeting. We're Instagram, most other shit. Now we're doing the live stuff and now we're doing podcasting. We have all these outlets, and I started the podcast with that intention because I lived it.
I want to add one thing on to what you're saying. Everybody has been at least a wrestling fan at some point in their life. At one point, a lot of people that I know have watched wrestling. even if it was just for, you know, if it was just during the 80s for Hogan, or if it was just during the Monday Night Wars, you know, there's everybody has at least watched wrestling at some point in their life and enjoyed it. So there is that knowledge, but, you know, it depends on how far you go.
Got it. Shout out to Tank again with the baseball updates. Thank you. But anyway, here's the deal too, Dave, and you're absolutely right. I told Rage last night, because there, well, actually, before I get into TNA, because it was a TNA rant, and I said to him, like, ask the casual wrestling fan how they feel about the current product. And I said, I told him, take a survey. Go on Facebook, go on Twitter, whatever other outlet you use. Go on Facebook and all this other crap and ask people. Because you know what? I know casual wrestling fans. And I made an example of the guy who used to watch it in college, and now he's got three kids and a job, and, you know, he turns it on every couple of months, and he's like, oh, this is terrible. And he's told me a couple weeks ago, this is terrible. I can't watch this. And I said, and you know what? I had no answer for him because I never left. I never left. I watched everything from the age of seven. I didn't walk away from it. I didn't stop watching it. I didn't stop putting money into it. I couldn't stop. I was like a junkie. And that's the thing.
Fuck, we're junkies now. We got the goddamn network.
Speaking of network, they sent emails out this week to customers who have previously canceled the network subscription after that free week.
Uh-huh.
They're now offering a second chance at another free week, but it's set to expire this Saturday. So, guys, and it says, yeah, exclusive second look. Listen, if you haven't gotten the network,
Mike and Oren Donger.
Well, it doesn't matter. Mike's not going to get it because Mike has, you know, 1,700 hours of videotape in his basement, apparently. But if you haven't gotten the network and you buy pay-per-views, buy it for 6 months because that's how much a pay-per-view costs. You know? If you – right. If you haven't – if you don't buy pay-per-views, then don't buy it. It's the cost of a pay-per-view. A high-definition pay-per-view feed is the price of 6 months of the network. I don't – and in the chat – I'm just looking in the chat room. Again, guys, I'm not like, you know – not, I'm not, what's the word I want to use? I'm not, you know, I don't condone walking away from it, and I don't knock anybody who has walked away from it.
I think we've all walked away from it at some point.
I really didn't. I mean, the only thing I stopped doing was, like, recording all the Raws and the SmackDowns, and that stuff I stopped doing. When the internet was more accessible, and I could watch stuff on a replay. But either way, here's the deal. It is what it is, and let me see. All right, here's another list of news items I have here. I got a stack of papers, but it's all WrestleMania notes. I have like 1,700 pieces of paper from work, and like three of them are news items.
Oh God!
The rest is all Mania.
Well, I don't even know what the hell happened this week. If anything even did.
Well, we're gonna get into a couple things real quick. There are people within WWE who believe that Sting just signed a deal with WWE and will be debuting on the night of WrestleMania 30. At the same time, there are also people who deny that report. Now, if you guys follow Rob Feinstein from Our Video, he's been saying that for about 3 or 4 weeks now on his Facebook page. And Rob, for some reason, has somebody in his ear, you know? He knows something somebody else doesn't. So he's been saying that, and I just read this yesterday. All right. Let's see. Oh yeah, check this out. I'll get into TNA in a second, but the Iron Sheik movie's coming out next month. Are you excited?
He has a movie coming out?
Documentary, yeah, April 26th.
Yeah, I remember there's like a Kickstarter or Indiegogo for it a while back, but I didn't put too much attention on it.
Right.
Cuz yeah, like isn't he like really sick and he needs money. He needs, you know, some sort of aid, right?
But I don't know, but for about 3 hours today at work, I just dedicated too much time to the Iron Sheik. So, yeah, I'm front row. He said, and the trailer is he's telling somebody he's going to break their back and make them humble and fuck them in the ass.
Well,
that's what the Sheik does. Yeah,
I don't know. The man's a lot of talk. He's not like Vern Gagne, who fucking body slammed his nursing home maid and fucking killed him.
Anyway. Iron Sheik movie debuts April 26th. I hope they play it locally.
I hope that, what was it, last year they had the Pro Wrestling Film Festival in New York. I hope that comes around.
Yeah, that's the whole Colt Cabana thing, right? Isn't he like,
yeah,
you know. All right, let's see. Now, let's get to TNA, which is the whole reason why I called in the rant last night. I'm going to tell you something. Now, you know, I'm the guy that when it comes to pro wrestling, my glass is always half full. And you can ask anybody who's known me for at least 10 or 20 years. And I try to look at the positives in everything because it's still, to me, the best form of entertainment on television. Besides, you know, watching live baseball and hockey and football. For me, I can give TNA shit. You know, because I've invested enough time in it. I've been watching it since Jump Street. And, you know, like the last 6 or 7 years, they've been taking a nosedive. You know, with the Panda Energy and Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett selling it and all the nonsense, right? Okay. So now they go and sign Hogan and Sting, bleed money. Still not getting ratings. They get Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, the Dudleys, nothing. Austin Aries, nothing. Terrible angles, Main Event Mafia, Aces and Eights, awful. Right, exactly. Exactly. But still, good talent, really good. And, you know, I never not walked away from a TNA card and not said, hey, that one match was good or that two matches were good. They have talent.
Yeah, it's just like WWE. Like, all these groups have great talent. There's an abundance of talent.
Now, if Dave lets me, I can have his extra ticket for the Ring of Honor show at the Hammerstein in May, right? But after that happens, it's a good segue, Dave, because Jushin Thunder Liger now is on the card, and I have to be there. So, but anyway, speaking of TNA and the Hammerstein Ballroom, TNA is spending $300,000 on three shows this summer at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
TNA.
Yes. Now,
$300,000.
$300,000 to rent to do June, July, and August.
But they do well in New York, so I don't see that being a problem.
I see it being a problem. Well, I do and I don't. And I'll get into that in a second. PW Insider reported this, and they believe that the $300,000 figure may be a bit high. There may be some people who have left TNA long on the power. Blah 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 blah. No, it says here that. They're pushing Dixie Carter to run Slammiversary in New York, but that's going to end up going for Texas. Now, Dave brought up a good point just now. He said, you know what? He said that TNA does do good here. Now, I went to a base brawl. TNA does a thing called base brawl every summer.
Wow, what's such a lame name.
In the minor league ballparks. I've gotten four tickets for $40 in a 7,000-seat baseball stadium, and it
four tickets for $40. I paid much more when I saw them the first time that they were there.
Okay, so these were $10 tickets. My kids got autographs. My nephew, my son, got autographs. My wife got like free swag. Everybody was approachable. It was a great night, decent matches. Then, you know, they said, oh, there was people like, you know, complaining on Facebook. They drew almost 1,000 people. Now, what's the max capacity at the Hammerstein?
It's more than 1,000, right?
It's got to be about 1,800, right? Maybe 2,000 people can fit in that place. Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Now, I've been there for Raw. I've been there for ROH. I've been there for ECW.
Mm.
Okay. If they get the same kind of crowd like an ECW, which they probably won't, because it's a different kind of animal now.
Yeah.
But if they get, listen. Of course, New York is always a hotbed, right? New York is always a hotbed for.
Yeah, well, I remember the first time I saw TNA, it was at Webster Hall, and they had like a tiny ring and they put it on the stage. This is back when Angle is champion. He went against Christian in the main event, and place was packed. But that was years ago. That was a while back. Not now, where they have like hardly anybody coming to the show. So I don't know. I honestly can't. I can't call it. But I'm gonna just say they'll probably at least reach 1,000, if not more, for Hammerstein Ballroom.
I don't know. I want them to succeed. You know, I don't want them to put a mask on their top guy. come on, dude. I mean, let's
the alter ego of Jeff Hardy.
ridiculous. You know? And ECW, it's a different crowd. And I don't know. I want them to do good, man. I want the people I want the people who fund it just to sit in the back and shut up. Stop letting the inmates run the asylum. Because they do tell a good story sometimes.
The last show that I saw from last week
was pretty good.
It was enjoyable.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, let's fucking tighten the ship up down there, Dixie. Get off TV. You're terrible, first of all. Terrible. You know, but...
Homeboy Spud was really good. I enjoyed his segment with Jeff Hardy beating the shit out of him. Him screaming at the top of his lungs like that. He was a good seller. He made Jeff Hardy look less of a methed out maniac wearing a stupid mask.
I love you, Tony C, but you're delusional. Willow is Jeff Hardy.
Tony C, I'm gonna make a recommendation that you bleach your hair. And that's it.
Why? Leave our resident Hulkamaniac alone.
I want him to bleach his hair.
Speaking of the rant.
That's my challenge to you, Tony C.
Well, speaking of the – I haven't actually had – speaking of the rant and Tony C, I have a bit of an announcement. For everybody who likes to listen to the rant and all the other shows on Rant DM Radio, we are dedicating an entire weekend – of programming to WrestleMania weekend from starting from Friday night, April the 4th, all the way through WrestleMania. And it's going to be like a mishmash of shows. First, you're going to have Surfer, and he's not going to do What Are You Reading? He's doing like a The Fun Show or some shit like that. And then you're going to have the Wrestling Call-In Show with Will.i.am Morgan and Rage and Tony C. And then they're going to do the Hall of Fame ceremony, then after the Hall of Fame ceremony, you do like a round table, then the next day it's going to be the rant, and then you and I are going to be on from 2 to 4, but we're all going to jump on each other's calls, and we're all going to jump on each other's shows, and it's going to be a great weekend, so tune into the rant, stay tuned for all the programming information, as always, card is subject to change, but right now it's going to be a good weekend, and I'm excited.
WrestleMania weekend.
It is WrestleMania weekend. And we have great fans, and we have great networks that we're a part of. I can't believe the Wizards got themselves not only Zach Gowen, but Mick Foley this week. Huh? Shout out to them.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know. Mick Foley's doing some kind of fundraiser for some really, really great cause, and I guess Matt must have worked his magic and got him on, so kudos to them. And
The pizza truck pulled up, and Foley probably swung by and got a pie, and he's on the show.
Don't knock Bowman's hustle, man. That fucking pizza's delicious, bro.
I've been there. I had it.
I hate Jersey. You know I hate Jersey, but that pizza is banging.
I got to say, like, the only pizza I enjoy in New York right now, that, like, 99-cent fresh slice or...
Downtown, you're crazy.
I love it.
I'm going to take you for some good pizza. I'm going to take you to Brooklyn and get some good... Next time you come in...
I've been to Brooklyn for pizza. It sucks.
No way, dude. You haven't been to my spots, man. Have you been to Rocco's in Bay Ridge?
No, I never heard of that.
L&B Spumoni Gardens, you've been there?
No.
You see, that this is why we can't have nice things, Mega Powers. Can't have nice...
Well, if I go there, then I can have a nice thing.
You're going to have nice things. I have to culture you, brother. I'm going to culture you, that's all. All right, so... We'll do some Facebook questions.
All right. Let's answer them questions.
All right. I'm getting Facebooked all the time. I'm getting messages here.
What did you think about that photo?
Which one, bro? Oh, the inappropriate one with Coco?
Yeah, that was part of the what I was watching for WrestleMania 3, the championship edition.
Shout out to my cousin. Whatever, dude. It's funny, but a little tasteless, but funny.
Hey, that's WWE who put that fucking, graphic on there. I just put the barbecue wings there.
You most certainly did. Shout out to my cousin.
Channeling my inner Bobby Heenan.
Shout out to my cousin Rich. He's in Florida. Rich says WWE is coming to Brooklyn next week. It is coming to the Barclays Center. If anybody wants to give me a ticket, I'll be in the city.
Yo, I was trying to get tickets for that, but they were just out of control.
That's why I'm asking if anyone wants to give me a ticket, I will go. I'm not paying for it. All right. Let's get in some Facebook questions. All right, Mega Powers. Our buddy Eric wants to know, whose feet are more educated, Rob Van Dam or Stan Lane?
I don't know. I think Sweet Stan Lane has the prettier feet, but RVD has the more educated feet because of all that high-flying action he's known for, and that karate kicks that he does.
Yeah, I gotta agree with the Mega Powers. I love Sweet Stan Lane, but RVD has more of a sweet kick to him. So of course, Shining Wizard.
Those crispy, crunchy monkey feet to him.
But Shining Wizard Eddie wrote Billy Graham. I guess he's referencing Karate Billy Graham.
Billy Graham definitely has the best belly nowadays.
Tank wants to know, young Ozzy with the Bulldogs or Alice Cooper with Jake? Which one did you pop more for? I popped for the Bulldogs and Ozzy more, obviously.
I popped more for Alice Cooper and Jake Roberts.
Yeah. All right. Our buddy Harry from the UK, shout out to Harry. Harry wants to know, guys, I posted an article here last week from BBC News about ECW-type federation going on with some real traction in Scotland. Do you think this is what wrestling business needs right now, a shot in the arm like ECW gave it in 94? Gave it 94, was it? Not for a moment I'm saying that the Scottish Fed is going to challenge WWE TNA, but do we need an alternative? TNA used to be an alternative, but they're just trying too hard to be WWE right now instead of doing what they were good at years ago. Unfortunately, I don't have the channel that Harry was taught. We have BBC over here, but we only have two or three channels.
Yeah, we got like BBC America, which doesn't show much.
Yeah. Tank.
I saw like old episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation on one of those BBC America stations.
Tank put the, what do you call it, the charity for McFoley up there in the chat room. Anyway, I read the article, and it's picking up steam. This guy was like homeless, this dude, this promoter.
Uh-huh.
And like he started this promotion, and like it picked up like almost the same way ECW started up, like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's story got a little bit more of a bat. You know, like I said, the guy was homeless, had nowhere to live, made some money to promote the show, and then all of a sudden it blew up.
And then he hit somebody over the head with a garbage can, and then they started making tons of money, right?
Dude, it's fantastic.
Need some links. I need links.
Yeah, Harry posted something. Harry, if you're listening, or you'll get it on a download, because, you know, the time difference. But Harry, if you're when you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, our time, and you hear this, post that link for Dave again, or look for it on the internet. Anybody has it in the chat room. It's a really good read. I don't know if we need that, because, I mean, and I don't know about in the UK, but in the States, the indie scene is on a rise, man.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't want to say hardcore is passe, but it's just kind of like even groups like CZW are straying away from the hardcore stuff. It's just kind of like it's a bit played out, and you know.
Yeah, they're doing the hybrid stuff. I don't mind the hardcore stuff if again, I told you guys this a million times on the show. I don't give a shit how you wrestle. If you tell me a good story, I like it. If you want to do a hardcore match, if you want to do, you know, a gimmick match like the tables, ladders, and chairs, and the cage, and all this other shit, sell me on it.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing nowadays is people really don't want to see, you know, like the Axel Rotten matches where they're just fucking stabbing each other for 10 minutes. You know, that stuff gets played out real quick. There has to be like some sort of, you know, meaning behind it. And, you know, as we've preached so often on this show, it's all about the story, my man.
That's right. You tell a good story, we're in.
Yeah.
Baza wants to know. Looking back at the Mania 3 card, I thought that there were one too many tag matches. I also felt the Sheik and Volkov versus Killer Bees wasn't really one to where the appetite as the main event warm-up. Reading where the show opener, not an upper mid-card match for me. What are your thoughts on the card, and do you think it could have been tweaked better to effect? We'll get into that as we cover the card tonight. But I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't care about that. They just wanted to. They were hyping the main event first of all, and Eddie actually put that up on the Facebook chat too.
Yeah.
But like they not only did they care about that, but they, it you know, bad booking. You can get away with bad booking on a bigger card. For the younger fan, because younger fan is not there to see, you know, the Can-Am Connection. They're not there to see the Rockers. They're not there to see
Red Rooster.
Red Rooster, right? They're there to see the main event.
Yeah.
You and I, though, you know, and anybody older will critique it and knock it down. All right. Eric wants to know, what do you think would have been some good opponents for Ricky Steamboat if he would have held on to the IC belt?
Well, I talked about that on a previous show. I wanted to see Bam Bam.
Yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow would have been a great opponent for Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, too bad he was like an asshole, apparently.
Yeah, he was at that point.
Fucking Andre beat the shit out of him.
Honky Tonk Man wasn't a bad worker. I would have gave Honky Tonk a bit of a run. I would have gave, of course, Macho Man a run.
Rick Rude,
of course. I mean, there's so many guys you could have put in that position. You know, Mr. Perfect, if they would have broke Kurt Hennig in a year before. Forget it, man.
Could have even had Bret Hart back then. He was, occasionally he would do some singles matches. So he even had a match with Steamboat around that time.
Most certainly did. Scott wants to know, in our opinion, top matches of all time in WrestleMania, where do you rank Steamboat and Savage? You want to save it for WrestleMania 3, or you want to answer that now?
Well, he's just asking us to rank it, so we can rank it right now.
Yeah, it's got to be like number 3.
Yeah, I would say so. Just because I remember. Well, I'm not gonna remember right now. I'll remember later on.
Oh, my fear. Yeah,
but yeah, it's just one of those matches that everybody cites, especially workers. Cite as one of their favorite WrestleMania matches. So yeah, absolutely top 3.
Yeah, top 3. And Axel Foley, I love that name, by the way. Axel wants to know, Phil and Dave, my question this week is what if scenario. I love what-if scenarios. I'm a big comic book guy, and I used to have the what-ifs all the time. What if the main event of Hogan and Andre never happened? Who would have main evented in Mania 3? Let's see. It says, would have been main evented Mania 3, Hogan versus who? Or would have been Hogan? And what do you think Mania 3, I have to hit the Seymour thing, would still be considered today as important as, let's see. As important as it is, the main event match would have been different. Would you guys even waste a whole podcast show on it? Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Well, first of all, I would waste a whole podcast on it because of the significance of the time.
Yeah.
It was 1987. It was the third of two huge, huge, huge cards. This was the boom. The first four WrestleManias, to me, are the pinnacle of sports entertainment. From 85 to 1988, those are the crown gems of sports entertainment. I'm not saying all the matches were great. I'm not saying, they were better than other WrestleManias. I'm saying that those were the reason why you have what you have today. Is that safe to say? Dave?
Yes, I'd say so. I just muted my mic because I started typing. I didn't want that to come over. But yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right, cool. Now,
this was like a very formidable time, for wrestling. So everything that was going on meant something. The way that they were pacing, all the storylines were significant. And we'll get more into that with WrestleMania 3. But it was specifically during this time that, launched, tons of memories, launched tons of careers. Shaped the whole landscape of wrestling to come, just from the 80s alone.
So, there you have it. I think I have one more question. Guys, do me a favor. When you're posting questions, we pin the post on a page. Try to leave all your questions in the, in the thread. This way I don't have to look for your questions. Let's see. I think that's it. I think we're good. All right, Dave, I'm going to take a real quick break, play some plugs, come back, and we'll start. We'll take a
piss break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and we'll play some plugs, and we'll take some calls.
Oh.
So you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on The Rant, emradio.com. We'll be right back. As soon as you're done with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, head over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com. We got you covered all week. You got The Rant live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You got the Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have the Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, it's What Are You Reading with the Surfer at 6 p.m. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and the Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and the Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
The following is a paid advertisement from Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle. The self-help seminar depicted in this program may not intend to provide any such benefit.
Has wrestling become boring for you? Find yourself ashamed to talk about it amongst your peers at work? Do you often think that maybe Nancy deserved it? Hi, I'm Anthony Black, and I'm here to tell you that you may be suffering from a serious wrestling dysfunction known as Russoitis. Russoitis is the leading cause of impotence in wrestling fans and has also been linked to abnormal levels of patience for obviously crappy gimmicks and angles. But don't worry, there is hope for you yet. Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle are here every Monday night to help you through this debilitating infliction with their deep insights and personal advice.
I could touch my entire ass.
Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle have literally helped hundreds of thousands of fans come to terms with their wrestling dysfunction, and they can help you too.
I'm not a retard.
But don't take my word for it. Listen to some testimonials from the people once afflicted by Russoitis.
I have been listening to Don and Tony and Kevin Castle for about 6 months now. Thanks to them, I now know more about wrestling and stuff. Me and my boyfriend, thank you, Don and Kev.
I've been listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle for a while now. I only started because whenever I watched wrestling, I went to fucking kill someone and smear their brains on a wall. Now, thanks to them, I'm in more control and at peace with some of the horrid booking I see on TV. Thank you, Don and Kev. Fuck, 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 kill, fuck!
So don't just sit there. Go to wrestling-news.com and take part in the cure every Monday night after Raw. Common side effects of listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle include, but are not limited to, high and low blood pressure, excessive happiness, depression, heartburn, heartworm, gonorrhea,
allergenic reactions, photogenic memory loss, blood and stolen urine, weight loss, weight gain, dilated pupils, sinus.
This is Dustin Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the three-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, Blue Eyed Soul, Dustin Rhodes, getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com to check out my boys, the Shining Wizards. They're four tools from Jersey. You talk about the good, the bad, the ups and downs of professional wrestling. And, of course, they always piss somebody off in the process. But they're always going to make you laugh. Check them out exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. Hey, monkeys, check out The Bloke Show. It's a weekly podcast with dedicated topics for fans of cartoons, movies, comics, wrestling, music, and plenty more. Join them for a laugh at the world each week with the news you won't see on TV, from Florida to France to Fremantle. Where the hell is Fremantle? Rotating wrap-ups with top five picks and pans, and everybody's favorite, Marry, Fucking Kill, or Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Bloke Show is a friend of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast and a member of the Atomic Geeks Network. Find them at theblokeshow.libsyn.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and your mom's basement. Yeah, two lovers in the bedroom. All right, Dave, shut your feet off.
It's off.
All right, good. And I wasn't breathing dick shit. I wasn't even here when I don't know what you fucking heard. I wasn't even in the room.
I heard you breathing. And
how'd you hear me breathing? I was downstairs.
Making all this noise.
Fucking sass me. Fucking sass me.
I'm the king of sass around here. You should know that.
You're a big bag of fried dicks. All right. Welcome back. www.rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. This is our throwback for the week. WrestleMania 3. What's the tagline on WrestleMania 3? You remember?
Bigger, badder, better.
Goddamn right. I saw a Shining Wizards Tony in the chat room. Hello there, my brother from another mother. AJ Maggie from the Bloke Show's in the room. Pastor Sedell. Who else is in there? Scott's in there. Everybody's in there. Fucking Axel's in there. Here it is.
We got a packed house.
We do. We're alive. I love you, Vince McMahon, by the way. We're alive. All right.
One, two, three. He kicked out.
He kicked out. All right. So, you ready, Dave?
Of course.
Of course you're ready.
I've seen this. 7 and 3, I've seen like a million times.
Yeah, 3.
At least like once or twice a year. For every year of my life, I've seen these.
All right, bitches. We're taking calls. 718-878-6394. Streaming in the chat room. 718-878-6394. All right. We're taking it back to 1987. Pontiac Silverdome, Detroit Rock City.
The home of Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
The Detroit Lions and the number one murder rate in the country.
And RoboCop.
All right.
Can't forget our favorite WCW alumni.
No, you can't forget RoboCop. Of course, WrestleMania 3 was hyped for a bunch of months in advance. Obviously, the main feud being Andre and his heel turn. And the betrayal of his ally, his buddy, his pal.
Giant betrayal.
Right, exactly, of the world champion Hulk Hogan. When Hogan was presented a trophy for being champion for 3 years, and Andre's good friend came out to congratulate him. Shortly afterwards, Andre was presented with a slightly smaller trophy for being undefeated in the WWF for 15 years. And Hogan came out to congratulate him, but Andre wound up being the focal point. But Hogan wound up being the focal point of the interview. Annoyed by this, of course, Andre walks out on Piper's Pit. During Hogan's congratulations speech, and not very long after that, on another edition of Piper's Pit, Heenan, a longtime Hogan adversary, we all know Bobby the Brain's Heenan's adversariness for Hulk Hogan, is that, if that's even a word,
yeah,
announced himself to be Andre's new manager. Andre then challenged Hogan, which is the best. He challenges Hogan to a match at WrestleMania, attacking him, ripping off the shirt and crucifix.
But that was the tricky thing because Andre was recently reinstated. And originally he was suspended by President Jack Tunney for no-showing.
On the Take Tunney.
On the Take Tunney, suspended him for no-showing a tag match against Bundy and Stud challenged Andre and, you know, any partner of his. But in reality, Andre was having some back issues, you know, due to his disease. And he was also taking some Japanese dates, so he wasn't around. So they ended up suspending him for no show in the match. Thus brought in the giant machine, because the machines were around that time. And
right.
Everybody was taking their turn, you know, Hulk Machine, Piper Machine.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was kind of their, you know, their like Midnight Rider, but with Andre with the mask on. But the thing was, when Andre was brought back, when he was reinstated, you know, around the time that he was getting this trophy, this award, you know, Heenan on television said that he was all right with Andre being reinstated, which was strange because nobody knew why, because he was the one that, you know, had him suspended in the first place for no show in the match.
Right.
So, you know, for weeks, these Piper's Pits were dragging this whole Hogan Andre thing out. And, you know, similar to the Mega Powers feud, you know, it was all very subtle, like hints, you know, week by week, like when Andre congratulated Hogan. You know, he shook his hand rather stiff, and Hogan had that look on his face like, you know, what the hell's going on here with this handshake?
Andre's like, I'm challenging you to a championship match as a WrestleMania.
But that was like weeks later. That was like four or five weeks later.
Yep.
But, you know, this was like a you know, slow burn, you know, awesome little thing that was going on, and fucking Jesse the Body Ventura was the dude who broke the news.
Yeah.
That he knew something that Piper didn't know.
He told Piper, I will produce Andre the Giant next week. Will you produce Hulk Hogan? Of course, Piper says yes.
And so they have him on the show, and Andre shows up with Heenan.
And now Hogan's baffled.
Yeah, like, what are you doing, man? We're friends.
I challenged you to a title match as a WrestleMania.
And Andre, what are you doing, brother? What are you doing? Like, we're friends and da-da-da.
I looked up to you like a god.
And then Andre does the deed, rips the shirt.
And the cross.
And the cross, and crumbles, shatters the dreams of every Hulkamaniac and every kid that was in the in the crowd and watching at home. I, not liking Hulk Hogan, sadly. No, I mean, it is sad because everybody else was a Hulk maniac on my block except for me. I was like the only fucking problem child. I wasn't like happy that this happened at first. I was kind of shocked because you look at Andre the Giant and Andre never lost. Andre never fucking...
Supposedly.
Well, never lost on TV. Never lost when I saw him. Live in a match anyway.
Yeah.
And I saw him about a dozen times. And it was, for me, as a kid, as a teenager, 12 years old, 11 years old, I'm like, this is crazy. This can't be happening. Like, this was the first time as a wrestling fan that I was taken back by the magnitude of what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, this was a big deal. And we talked about being a big deal last week on the last show we did about going to school the next day and new teachers and new programs and shit like that.
Yep.
But this was a big deal. Like, I didn't – like, disliking Hogan aside, like, I felt bad for Hulk Hogan. Like, I was like, I can't believe this is going to happen. Like, he's going out like that? Like, this is how they're going to do him? Like that? Like, because Andre – wrote his own, he stamped his own ticket. He's Andre the Giant, the eighth wonder of the world, 7 foot, 500 pounds. Did whatever he wanted.
According to Hulk Hogan, 700 pounds at the time.
And he wanted the world title.
Finally.
And nobody thought, Andre going for a title? This is crazy. Why would Andre want the belt?
You know, This is true. You know, I kind of was watching at the time because I was only 3 years old, but I do. But my first time watching wrestling, I remember seeing the Battle Royal between Hogan and Andre very clearly. I remember that for some reason. But, you know, even though I wasn't watching at the time, you know, going back and seeing this stuff, knowing what I know now, it's pretty wild. And I'm sure for a lot of fans, they didn't think, you know, how come Andre didn't want to go for a title match in the past, you know, stuff like that. But it was happening.
Right.
Hogan, it was happening quick. Hogan, and a lot of questions weren't being answered.
Right. And Hogan, to this day, will tell everybody that this was the day that, you know, Andre, quote unquote, passed the torch. I don't know if it was passing the torch.
I don't think so.
Because, again, I'm sure Andre the Giant had, yes, you guys can call him, by the way, 718-878-6394. I don't know if it's passing the torch, because Andre didn't really, he was getting up there in age, for his size anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was passing the torch in terms of maybe not them doing the workload. I don't know. Did they want to make him world champion? They marketed the shit out of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he was always billed as the attraction in NWA, WWF.
I just watched him in Texas today, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Chasing the Freebirds.
Yeah, it's always like a hard, you know, call for a dude like that, you know. Is it, I don't know what his circumstances were, you know. He was just somebody who was, you know, passed along. You had to go through Vince Sr., you know, to get him on your show. Stuff like that. So I don't know if there really was any plans for him to be, you know, NWA world champion or a WWF champion or even a WWF champion. And, yeah, I don't know. It's such a strange thing. I'm sure when this went down, it was shocking to everybody.
Right. Right. And I was shocked as a kid, like this is not happening. And of course, like the buzz and I was more excited, though, believe it or not, about the Macho Man and Steamboat. Because that build-up was amazing.
He fucking tried to kill him in the ring.
Dude, I remember this distinctively. And like, what happened was Savage attacked Steamboat as he was, like, you know, greeting fans at ringside or whatever. Savage then, like, he pushes Steamboat, like, over security or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, like, delivers an elbow. And like into the throat of Steamboat and into the rail, and then he brings him in the ring and drops a fucking timekeeper's bell in his neck.
Well, this is during a match that they had on Superstars.
All right, hold on a second. Yeah, this is all right. Whoever's calling from an unknown number, I can't take that without not adding Dave. So I can't take this call.
I think it's AJ.
Oh, let me take it. Hold on a minute. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, hello.
Oh, sorry, how you doing?
What's up, hey, brother?
Dan. How you doing, all right?
All right, man, listen. Hold on one
second. I had to call. Oh, sorry.
Hold on one second. I gotta hang up on you, and then I got to call you back because I got to add, because when you called in from an unknown number, it doesn't show
okay.
up. So let me add you that way. Hold on one second. All right, Dave. Dave, hold on a minute. I hate this shit. All right. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So let's let's add AJ to the call. All right.
There he is.
All right. AJ, you there? Hello?
We'll try that again, man.
You there, brother?
There.
I'm all here.
All right.
I'm
AJ Maggot's in the building. Hello, sir.
What are you doing? I heard you chatting a little bit about Hogan and the Andre thing. I had to When did this go down? 85, maybe?
87. Yep.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, I was 16 when that happened. I thought I was a bit younger, but yeah. I remember being a massive Andre fan. I was never really a Hulk Hogan fan, but all I remember from that whole thing is I hated Heenan with a passion because of what he'd done to Andre. That's what stood out most to me. It's not that Andre went bad. It was all Heenan, you know, getting in his brain, putting bad thoughts into Andre's mind, turning him on the fans. It wasn't like he wasn't turning on Hogan to me. He was turning on us, the fans, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense, because I was just, like I was telling Dave before, I was shocked. Like, Andre the Giant wants to fight for a title, and, like, he's, like, a bad guy? Like, this is surreal. Like, forget about Hogan for a second. I mean, Hogan, obviously, the focal point. But, like you said, like, Heenan gets in his head, and that he was more mad at Heenan. I was just more shocked that Andre was a bad guy.
Like, exactly.
It was, like, surreal.
Because what? He was only really, like, a bad guy in, like, Japan. For the most part.
I mean, if you want to count Japan, I mean, he was only a bad guy in the main events in Japan, like, you know, when he fought, like, Baba and...
Inoki and all those guys.
But he was mostly, like, in tag team matches and battle royals and, you know, those novelty matches where he fought three guys at the same time and...
Yeah.
Again, every time I've seen Andre live in a match, he's only wrestled, like, one or two singles matches. He was always in a tag match with Orndorff or Snuka or Hogan or Hillbilly Jim or Lou Albano, like one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
So, but AJ, I mean, was it like, and you're only a couple of years older than me at this point, like, you know, now you see this, and it's like the shot heard around the world.
Yeah, pretty much. Me being on the other side of the world, all Andre was to us was the ultimate good guy that no one could beat, and you don't hear about stuff that he'd done behind the scenes till much later when shoot interviews sort of arose. But it sort of made sense back in those days if McMahon owned Andre, you know what I mean? He'd send him out to other promotions for a battle royal or something, and then they'd send him five or six wrestlers for the same sort of price, you know what I mean? It was, that's why he never really had the titles. But Andre was the pinnacle of good guys. Hogan was just the face of the company. Andre was the ultimate good guy that nobody could beat. No matter how big and bad the bad guy was, Andre beat him up.
You hear this, guys? You hear this in the chat room? He was the face of the company, and that was just it. And there's difference between the face of the company and the main draw.
Absolutely.
Because Andre put asses in the seats for a very, very, very long time, no matter where he was sent. Japan, Mid-Atlantic, Texas. I just saw him today in Texas on the network. He was wrestling fucking Michael Hayes. But, like, you know, there's that. There's the guy who puts asses in the seats for a long, long time, and now he's cashing in his golden ticket.
Now I got a question for you guys. What did you think Heenan did to him to make him switch over?
It can't be money-related, because Andre's got money, right? I mean...
They even said that on, I think, on one of the pits. You know, the guy was making enough money. Why would he need to switch over to Heenan?
I think AJ hit the nail on the head. He was, you know, Heenan got in his ear and said, listen, you know, Hogan's been ducking you. Hogan's been not doing the right thing, not giving you a title shot, not acknowledging you as the man, as the eighth wonder of the world, the baddest man on the planet, the tallest, the biggest, the baddest. And now all of a sudden, Andre ate it. Andre drank the Kool-Aid.
Huh? Because, what was it? I was watching Hulkamania 3 last night, the tape from Coliseum Video, and even after WrestleMania 3, they were still speculating, how did Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, convert Andre the Giant?
Well, I think it had something along the lines of Heenan probably said, Hulk Hogan's not your friend. He's using you because he's scared of you, because he knows if you want his title, you can take it any time you like. He's just being nice to you. He talks about you behind your back, that sort of stuff. If we're going to play along with the wrestling is real type stuff.
And there was no breaking kayfabe back then. You know, there was no internet. You had to wait for wrestling to come on. You had to wait for it like every weekend like we all did. And it was that much better. You know, the hype was better. And again, I'm showing my age, but like it was so much better to wait for it and not to be disappointed about reading it the next day somewhere else and, you know,
I still get mad when people try to throw spoilers out there. Like, was it one of the dudes, you know, on the group page posted about the NXT dude? I forgot what his name is. You know, being in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And the first thing I said was, is he supposed to be winning? So, I don't know. I just want to watch a show without having to, you know what's going to happen beforehand. But sadly, those days are gone.
Crazy. Isn't it crazy, though? And AJ, honestly, isn't it? you know, you see the transition, and I hate, I don't want to break away from WrestleMania 3, but, like, you see it now, and you see it back then. You think something like this could be hyped now without all the nonsense?
No, the internet's made everything impossible to wait. It's made everything impossible to avoid the spoilers, to everything gets overhyped, you know what I mean? You're not just seeing a storyline played out on TV anymore. You're hearing thousands upon thousands of people talking every single little bit that can be thought. So by the time it comes up, every scenario is played out in your head already, so nothing shocks you anymore.
Insane. It's just insane. And I this is why I like talking about this shit, because it's like it's so much fun to relive it, you know, as an adult. And if you have children, it's even better, you know, to relive. And, like, it tells a great story. Every good match on this card told a really good story.
Yeah, so. WrestleMania 3 to me is the most special pay-per-view of my life, because I remember most of the matches on this card had a story and a build-up and a payoff, you know what I mean? I don't want to go in and destroy every single match that he's going to talk about, but the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation, that was one of the build-up to that, with Danny Davis, a referee, fucking everybody royally and getting his payback in this WrestleMania, that was a pretty big thing to me, you know what I mean? It was just how he fucked Tito Santana out of the IC title and fucked the Bulldogs out of the tag team titles. It was the payoff. Yeah, WrestleMania 3, just it wrapped up just about every story in wrestling all in the one night.
That's a two-year storyline, kids, okay?
Yeah.
AJ just told you guys a two-year storyline. It goes back from 85, 86, late 85, early 86. Santana drops the belt to Macho Man in the Boston Garden. And now it slowly starts the heel turn of the referee. Okay? That's a two-year storyline culminating to WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
That would never fucking fly now. Okay? That, to me, is the essence of professional wrestling back in the day. Storytelling. That's it. That's the bottom
line.
And
it was subtle, too.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Because there was even stuff I was reading, you know, doing some research on this too, like on house shows. I was reading up a lot about the Can-Am connection. Like for they had a house show feud with the Hart Foundation, and fucking Danny Davis would Tom Zank or Rick Martel would small package, you know, one of the Hart Foundation members, he would flip them over. So they would get the pin, and then he would do, like, a fast count.
Right.
So it was all over the place. It was with several, you know, different teams and feuds and shit like that, and it was all over. Everybody had their story to tell, you know, other people, whether it was on TV or not.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. AJ, before we let you go, brother, what's going on with the Bloke Show? When are you guys recording again?
We're recording tomorrow night, actually. Your time tomorrow night. Well, we do wrestling once a month. We don't like to do an overkill on the wrestling because we like to talk about other shit as well. But tomorrow we're going to talk about WrestleMania in general. You know, like last month we talked about the first three WrestleManias,
yeah,
which is why I was pretty passionate about this. We sort of talked about a lot of the same stuff, but tomorrow we're just going to talk about just favorite memories from WrestleManias over the years. Obviously, The Rock and Hogan was a big thing, and Benoit was a big thing. You know, there's been a few big deals at WrestleManias, but we're getting into that. And then the following week, we're going to do an episode on sporting or movies based on sports, actually.
Dude, comes to mind, sporting movies are awesome. Major League, Mr. Baseball, Rudy, all good movies. The 80 Olympic, The Lake Placid 1980 Olympic team is a great movie with the Herb Brooks. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah, check out the Bloke Show. They're on the Facebook page. Go to the page. Vote on your favorite WrestleMania moment. My favorite WrestleMania moment to me is WrestleMania 2. We're going to get into that next week, but I'll put it on your page, too. The WrestleMania 2 is my favorite WrestleMania for a whole bunch of reasons.
Fair call.
Yeah, but, dude, I thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and always... give a shout out to Punchy and Brody and all the other cats, and I'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Just make sure you mention the Battle of the Full Nelson before you finish tonight.
You are not
lying. That was
one
special one.
You are not lying. We're going to get into that right away, man. That's fantastic.
Good stuff.
Every single match will be discussed.
Of course. We're doing every single
Excellent.
Match. All right,
Excellent.
AJ,
thanks,
take care,
Phil.
Brother.
Thanks, Dave. Take
Thank
it easy,
you,
boys.
AJ. Right.
Cheers.
AJ Maggot, the bloke show, all the way from
the one and only,
all the way from Queensland, fucking Australia.
Hell yeah!
All right. See now, that's what I'm talking about, baby. We're doing cross promotion. We're doing across the globe. That's how we roll here, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah, and I got to check out his show. I don't really have much time to check out everybody's shows.
See, I have a shitty commute, so I download all of them to the phone. I subscribe to them all, and that's how I get down, brother.
Yeah.
So you find yourself on a train or on a commute, you plug it into the car or on your headphones, and that's how you do it.
I got to figure out how to get this going, because I'm working – the job that I have now is absolutely boring as shit, so I have plenty of time to catch up on everything while I'm at work.
Yeah, check out the Bloke Show. Yeah, they're a bunch of good guys. I've known AJ for a while. He's I met him through the Don Tony guys. And you know, it's great that they talk about stuff that we all dig. And that's what I don't even listen to radio anymore unless I'm in my car. Like I drove for the first time. I had like some alone time, and I used the car on Saturday. I drove into Queens to see family.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the first time in like forever I actually played music while I was alone. Normally I'm just doing, you know, just playing podcasts.
Yeah.
So, all right. So getting back to Savage Steamboat, the build up. And so now he crushes him with the bell, and it was on Superstars.
Yeah. I found the match. I gotta post it up because I find it strange that, you know, whenever they're doing like Macho Man, like best of DVDs or Steamboat and shit like that, they never, you know, put this full match on there, and it's fucking good. I kind of like it on par, if not a little bit better, than the WrestleMania match.
All right, let's take another call here. Hold on.
All right.
Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. What's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, this is Shiny Wizards Eddie from New Jersey.
Oh, hey, sweetie.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
What's up, Ed?
What's up, Betty?
Oh, call me Tickle. What's going on, boys?
What's up, bro? I thought you guys were recording tonight.
No, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Zach Allen and Mick Foley. We were plugging out before.
Yes, yes, that is tomorrow. I wanted to bring up something real quick before you get to it. The King Kong Bundy match with the midgets. Now, WrestleMania 2, he main evented. WrestleMania 3, he's in a throwaway tag match with midgets. Is that the furthest any main event player has fallen between two WrestleManias, or in recent memory, has there been anyone else, you think?
Well, wait a second. He was going against Hogan not too long after that on the main event, leading up to the rematch with Andre.
I think the only guy that comes close is The Miz, no? The Miz
goes... I was thinking The Miz, too.
Like, The Miz went from headlining Mania 2-3 years ago to being on the fucking pre-match, right?
Being the fucking host of SummerSlam, too.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, like, you look at Miz, and that's kind of like, all right, like, I can get that. But you look at Bundy, and he's just, like, this big main event monster. It's just surprising that in a year he fell so far, and I just wonder what anything maybe behind the scenes had to do with that.
I don't – you know what? The roster was always so big. And
Only thing I can throw in there is just because it's Andre. You know, he's the giant.
Maybe because Andre was like punching in the ticket saying, all right, now I want to be in some kind of – I mean, he had to have some kind of creative control at that point in his career. I don't know.
Yeah. From what I heard, they Vince pulled on – he called Andre from the set of The Princess Bride, and at that point, Andre was pretty much done. He didn't want to come back, and at first he actually declined to come back for WrestleMania until he said he'll be working with Hogan, and Andre thought of it as like one last good run.
Yeah.
Ed, is this your favorite Mania or no?
WrestleMania 3, yeah, that's the 3 and 6, but I'd say 3 would probably be one of my favorites. It's the second Mania I watched live in my living room on pay-per-view, and I was so scared for Hogan's life that I remember I hid in my bedroom right after the bell when Hogan went to slam Andre and Andre just squashed him. I thought he was dead, so I just ran to my bedroom and hid for like the rest of the match.
No,
I think I told you guys the story of how my getting to watch it came about. We had I mentioned the Ridgewood Grove Arena a bunch of times. It was a boxing arena in my own neighborhood that had all the live cards. And they were on their last leg. They weren't promoting a lot of cards. but they did have the closed captioning on the closed, not closed, the fuck is wrong with me, the closed, closed circuit. And the arena only holds a couple of hundred people. So my mom was working a weekend job, like at some catering hall. She was like serving drinks or whatever, like a bartender. And I followed her to the catering hall, which was down a block from the Grove Arena, and I begged her for the money. And she wouldn't give me the money to go see WrestleMania. I got to see WrestleMania. This is crazy. You know, and wow. And it was like, you know, we didn't have cable until like 3 or 4 years later. I'm begging. I'm like, give me the money. She's like, no, no, no. My grandmother had worked at the same spot as like a bathroom attendant, and she fucking dipped into her tip jar and like handed me a whole bunch of singles. Like I was like, going to a strip club, 11 years old. And she hands me the money, and I ran to the fucking venue. I had enough money for like a $3 program and the money for the ticket. And I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I just sat there. It was like glued to the fucking screen. Like it was.
What was it like watching it on closed circuit? Like, was there a big crowd? Is it on like a movie theater screen?
It was 500 people at least in this little boxing arena. And you know how small the boxing rings are? They're not that big.
Well, this is like a theater at Madison Square Garden or something.
It's
like
smaller
that, right?
than that. And small like they lowered a screen in the middle of the ring, and that's what they did. And we watched it, and it was crazy. It was so much, and of course, it's like a big haze of smoke because people were like, "Eh, WrestleMania," and then people were smoking and you know, doing
it. Smoke back then
because it was 1987, and people drink, you know, fucking drinking their beer and smoking their Pall Malls and their Virginia Slims, and everybody's like, "Oh,
oh my God!"
Exactly, it's Brooklyn. So
smoking their Winstons.
Smoking their Winstons.
Now, were the people reacting? Were they like,
yeah, it was like being at a fucking wrestling match. It was surreal, dude. I was 11 years old. I lived like a mile and a half from the venue, and I walked the entire way. And I, you know, that was probably the longest mile of my life because walking home, I was on this high, you know. And I had I wish I still had the program. I mean, the program now is worth about $60 in mint condition on eBay. But But it was so surreal, you know. But
yeah, it's incredible. That's really cool. You also mentioned how WrestleMania 2 was your favorite WrestleMania. Are you going to get into the reasons why this episode? Or are you going to talk about that next week?
I'm going to talk about 2. 2 is my favorite. I could say it now, but 2 is my favorite because of a couple of reasons. That was the first time I actually saw it on videotape. I had my godmother had she was a court clerk or court stenographer or some shit, and somebody out in Long Island had it on videotape. Long Island had cable way before, like the suburbs had cable way before the five boroughs did, and she had like made a whole day of it and recorded it for me, and brought me to her home and I watched it, and I think just the whole thing of Ozzy being with the Bulldogs, I loved Ozzy as a kid, and I loved Black Sabbath, and then I loved the whole different venue thing. That was for me. That was fantastic. And then the battle royal with the football players and the Piper Mr. T thing. It was. I'll get into it next week. But there's Orndorff in Morocco. Were like one of my favorite matches of all time. On you know what I'm saying. So like for me,
and Elvira.
Elvira was it was doing the main event in California in the cage. Susan St. James in Nassau Coliseum with fucking Vince McMahon.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh
my.
What WrestleMania was Mary Tyler Moore at?
7.
That was 6. 6 she, or 7.
She was at no, she no, was no, at no, 6. 6. Six. Six. Yeah, she was at ringside. She had no clue.
She had no idea that's right. Who the fucking honky tonk man was.
And she was like Elvis or she didn't know, right? She didn't know.
Sean Mooney, fed to her like the line. She's like, "Who does the honky tonk man remind you of?" And she just had that dumb look on her face. So he's like, "Elvis?" And then she's like, "Yes. Elvis."
I remember that being awkward. Even when I was young, I just remember that being weird. I got one more quick question before I let you guys continue with the show. WrestleMania 3, obviously a big gamble for Vince McMahon. Hogan and Andre sold the event. Nowadays, do you think that the name Mania sells the event itself and it really doesn't matter who's headlining?
No, not anymore. Yeah, not anymore. They sell tickets. I mean, of course, when we went last year, there was empty seats, but they were almost to capacity. I mean, yeah. And
let's go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Dave, but it's bigger. I mean, it's more of an event now. It's an entire weekend. You know, they have like the Fan Fest, and they have interactive things, and the Hall of Fame ceremony is now a part of it. I think they don't have to give you the main event anymore for them to sell it, because they know the top guys will always be in the main event.
And, and I'm going to add to that, like, nowadays, too, everybody is so, like, merchandised out. Like, if you're a fan of any particular guy, they got, like, a long lit, like, a laundry list of, like, different items, like a fucking Dolph Ziggler skateboard and shit like that. So it's like whoever you're into, you can, like, really be invested into who they are, as opposed to back in the day where, like, okay, Junkyard Dog has a shirt, so I'll buy that, and that's it, you know?
I couldn't even get to I couldn't even get to the merch table last year for the kids, man. I couldn't get any. You couldn't. I had to order the stuff.
No, you couldn't.
I felt bad. I had to order stuff online for the kids. They were like, oh, I'm sorry, you know? By the time I got there, they had fucking, like, AJ Lee foam fingers. I was like, what, you know, whatever, but. But nobody,
did you smell the foam fingers?
I wanted to. My wife, no, she smacked me. She wouldn't let me. But of course I wanted to. Of course I wanted to. I know
she wanted to know if you smelt the foam fingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shining Wizards Eddie is on the line. ShiningWizards.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Big things going for them. We are part of the biggest network in sports entertainment broadcasting today. Ed, again, you got Zach Gowen tomorrow, Mick Foley. How did fucking Bowman pull that off? Was that you or Bowman?
That was Bowman, and I have no idea what he said or how he said it, and I'll find out tomorrow, but he worked his magic, and we landed Foley.
Congratulations,
so,
guys.
Cool.
We're very proud of you guys. We love you guys to death. I'll see you for WrestleMania, hopefully.
Yes, sir.
You
guys have a good show, and I will continue listening to the rundown of this fantastic card.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care, kid.
Later.
All right.
Peace.
All right. See? That's how we roll. Shining Wizards Network, Rant EM Radio. Two Suburbans and a hearse, kids. We're killing them.
Yeah.
We are killing them. All right. So, WrestleMania 3. You ready?
I'm ready, bro.
Every match had a build-up.
Better.
Every match had a build-up.
Even the fucking Can-Am Connection, Morocco and Ace Orton?
Everything.
That had a build-up?
Yeah. To tag, they always fought each other in tag team matches.
But Butch Reed and Kogo Ware had a build-up?
Well, no. Kogo was thrown to the, you know, thrown to the masses.
Yeah.
Kogo was thrown. Butch Reed was the new guy at that point.
Okay, so this was kind of like his debut. They had, like, a lot of debuts at Manias for guys.
Right. So, let's see here. All right. How the hell do I do that? I was going to put the name to it. All right. So, of course, Aretha Franklin opens up with
The Queen of Soul.
The Queen of Soul.
Yo, the guy, fucking McMahon says that with, like, no finesse and no soul. Just fucking barks out the Queen of Soul.
And his
Aretha Franklin.
And the song for WrestleMania was her top hit at the time, Who's Zoomin' Who. That was the WrestleMania song for WrestleMania 3.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Who's
Zoomin' Who? Yeah, it was in 87.
Wow.
All right. So your first match of the night was the Can-Am Connection versus Cowboy Bob Orton and the Magnificent One Don Morocco with Master Fuji.
Yes. What did you think of this match?
I love all these guys. There's not. Listen, here's the deal. All these guys are fantastic tag team wrestlers. Morocco and Martel are great singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
I find nothing wrong. This was one of the best tag team matches in WrestleMania history, actually.
It's a great opener. Just tag matches in general are great openers for pay-per-views. And, you know, this wasn't, you know, short of one for Mania, no less. I was a little bit disappointed that the Can-Am Connection weren't around much longer after this.
Well, no, Martel had to do the heel turn.
Well, it wasn't just that. I did some research, Phil, on this. Well, apparently there was like a pay dispute
with Tom Zink.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so he decided not to continue on. Actually, what I thought it was, I actually went to his website. I forgot what it's called, like zman.net or something like that.
Jesus.
I did some research on this match. First of all, the Z-Man's website is really thorough. It's thorough as shit. It has, like, all his fucking matches, all his magazine clippings, everything. And I was really surprised at the information that they had concerning the Can-Am connection at WrestleMania. And they have a lot of like Meltzer quotes from the Wrestling Observer that they were potentially going to put the straps on the Can-Ams at WrestleMania 3. Because first of all, they were having, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of house show matches with a lot of wins going back and forth between the Can-Ams and the Hart Foundation. You know, for instance, you know, having fucking dangerous Danny Davis, you know, flipping the small packages and, you know, cheating the Can-Am connections out of their title wins. And but what I found even more interesting was that Neidhart was actually being indicted for an airline incident that he punched a female flight attendant 4 or 5 times in the arm when she demanded payment for 2 beers on a flight. And Neidhart had a court date after Mania. He was facing up to 20 years in prison if convicted. So, yeah, really. And, you know, I'm reading these Meltzer quotes, and, you know, he was predicting that they were going to put the belts on Martel and Zank. Because I'm guessing that they were like the hot tag team at the time right there. But from what I was reading about Tom Zank's interviews were that the tag team champions at the time, I don't know how it is now, but there wasn't a spike in pay if you were the champion. So he didn't really give a shit. He was getting paid more in Japan for, you know, going on tours with the Can-Am connection over there, as well as, you know, just solo tours. So he didn't really see much of a future with these dudes, with WWF rather, if they were tag team champions because they were getting paid more in Japan. So nothing really came of that. Apparently Neidhart didn't have to go to jail afterwards. And, you know, they dropped the belts later on to the fucking Strike Force. But I had no idea that any of that was going on. I always thought it was strange that, you know, Can-Am Connection was like, you know, blink and you miss them. You know, if they weren't at WrestleMania 3, I don't even know if I would have known that they were in the organization at the time. But I had no idea that fucking Jim Neidhart was beating the shit out of some flight.
Oh, shit. Damn it. I'm sorry about that. Oh, damn it. Ah.
Okay. Sing on.
Yeah, Dave, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button over there. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the first match. The match ended when Rick Martel gave Don Morocco a high crossbody with Tom Zink on his hands and knees, giving Morocco what Gorilla Monsoon called a little schoolboy trip from behind.
Yes.
Allowing Martel to get to win for his team. So the winner is the Can-Am Connection. All right.
And now the Battle of the Full Nelson.
The Battle of the Full Nelson. I told AJ we wouldn't forget it. How could we forget this match? The next match that aired was Hercules Hernandez, Hercules, with Bobby the Brain Heenan against Billy Jack Haynes for the Full Nelson Challenge.
What do you remember this?
What's that?
What do you remember of this feud, you know, that was going on at the time?
It was more Bobby Heenan just picking on Billy Jack Haynes, telling him that my guy is better than your guy, blah, blah, nah, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like pretty, you know, Hercules at the time was fucking ripped. Billy Jack Haynes, you know, the same. Both had the Full Nelson finisher. You know, there was, you know, as I mentioned, I think on the last episode, you know, there's so many dudes have the fucking, you know, can you break the Full Nelson challenge? And, you know, it's always lame, but, you know, when you see these two guys going at it, it's like shit. You know, they're both like, you just look at them and it's like, fuck, if I got a Full Nelson from that dude, you know, I'm going to have my neck broken.
Right.
But both of these guys are kind of like on an equal level. And actually, I mentioned earlier, I was watching the championship edition of WrestleMania 3, which is a DVD that they put out. And they had like a little video of Ron Simmons talking about this match, you know, saying, you know, for the house shows and stuff like that, you know, and on TV, you know, it was back and forth, you know, one guy couldn't get one over on the other. And now they were having this big match you know, part of the deal was, you know, who could break out of the Full Nelson for either guy. and fucking Billie Jack Haynes, you know, broke out of Hercules's Full Nelson.
Well, the match ended where Haynes did get Hercules in a Full Nelson outside the ring. Both guys were counted out. But what happens after the match is pretty significant. After the match, Bobby Heenan assaults Billy Jack by kneeing him in the back. And Bobby Heenan does a really good job at this. Knees him in the back. And as Billy Jack goes to chase him, Hercules then blindsides him with the chain, busting him up multiple times and giving him a Full Nelson of his own and bludgeoning him pretty much and busting him open.
You know, I have what's the UK company, Silver Vision? You know, before like all these manias were available on DVD, I picked one up because UK had like these the tag. I don't know what they were called, like the tag or DVDs or whatever. Anyway, my copy had WrestleMania 3 and 4 on it, and I found it interesting that the UK version, which they were basically just rips of the Coliseum videos, but in the UK, and they actually cut out, you know, all the blood at the end.
Oh, that's crazy.
They didn't show any of like the him juicing him with the chain, none of that.
Well, I watched my version and then I watched the network version for family movie night on Sunday. So they both had the blood. And AJ makes a good point in the chat room. Hercules swinging that chain was pretty badass. I mean, for the time. But again, it was a what happened afterwards was the best.
Yeah.
So, all right. Your next match was the mixed tag match between King Kong Bundy and his can we say midget? We can't say midget.
Yeah, we can say midget.
All right.
Midget. I said worse on this show. We could say midget.
This is true. This is true. his midget team of Lord Littlebrook and Little Tokyo against Hillbilly Jim and his own midget team of the Haiti Kid, sporting that same haircut the Piper gave him.
Yeah.
And Little Beaver.
I look like Mr. T.
Yeah. I have that. I have every. I told you I gotta get you those DVDs. I have everything. Yeah, I have all those Piper's Pits, all of them. All right. So obviously you know the rules. Midgets can only fight the midgets. The big guys can fight the big guys. This was just another one of those filler matches.
Yeah. Thinking about what Eddie said. You know, I never really read anything about fucking. You know, Bundy getting the shaft from anybody. You know, I even remember reading a Dynamite Kid's book, and Dynamite didn't even have any, insight on why that happened. He just mentioned, this dude was in the main event, and then he has the midget match, and, you know, the Bulldogs are, you know, pinning Bundy, you know, on house shows. And he said within the space of, 3 seconds, this dude's looking like a piece of shit. But at the same time, he's still facing Hogan on fucking Saturday night's main event. So he wasn't totally, for a loss. But, for a lot of fans, seeing him as this absolute terror on WrestleMania 2, destroying the ribs of Hogan. And then
beating up midgets in WrestleMania 3. Again, that was a good point by Eddie. And Eddie always has a good point. Shout out to him. But, again, the only time I ever saw somebody fall to grace like that would be The Miz a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So only thing I can think about, like, why this match even happened was just for the sake of seeing Bundy squash, some midgets. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right, right. So the, let's see.
You never see the little guys get hurt like that. That's the only thing I could think of to make Bundy seem even more of an asshole,
Bundy was, let me tell you something, Bundy was the best heel in WrestleMania 2. We'll get into that next week. But Bundy's team was disqualified when he attacked Little Beaver because Bundy was not supposed to be in a ring with the midgets.
Yeah.
Bundy attacked Little Beaver after the match, after Beaver had attacked him on a cage. Now, first of all, and shout out to Jesse Ventura and Bob Uecker, who's awesome on the commentary. If you guys are baseball fans and you happen to get like any kind of satellite radio or you have access to Milwaukee Brewers baseball, Bob Uecker is a really good announcer. Check him out. And he's funny on the microphone. And he's even funnier doing this stuff. Bundy, Little Beaver, listen, and I'm sticking up for Bundy. I'm sorry. He had it coming. He antagonized Bundy the entire match. He bit him. He fucking kicked him. And finally, Bundy got mad and dropped him.
Ask him for that avalanche.
Right, exactly. So, and he got caught. So,
but these were all midget legends. And
I don't think any of them are still alive at this point. I think they're all passed on.
Remember, like, Tiger Jackson was just living forever.
God, Tiger Jackson was like fucking. He had to be the oldest midget in wrestling.
Yeah, because he was like in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Lord Littlebrook was around too for a hot minute. All those guys, I think except for Little Beaver, were like substantially, like, they had an extended career in that realm of wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, they had their WrestleMania moment, so there you go.
So, all right, let's move on. Bundy kills the midgets. Best, one of the best parts of the night.
Yeah, Mary Hart tries to get an interview with Liz, and that doesn't work out.
Who's that, Rona Barrett?
No, Mary Hart.
Oh, Mary Hart, right. Rona Barrett was the last one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm getting my mixed up.
But I remember there's this one great fucking line, like Macho Man interrupts everything, and Mary Hart is trying to get that word in with Liz, and, you know, he pulls her out of the screen, and he says, "My number's on the back of my license plate."
As he's walking away. Yeah. As he's walking away, he tells her that.
But don't, like, license plates, like, only have, like, six numbers?
It doesn't matter. It was funny because I don't think he – honestly, I think he was ad-libbing.
Yeah.
Because not only was he walking away, he was out of the picture when he said it. But you heard it clear as day. My number's on the back of the license plate. Yeah. But it was just –
there's not enough numbers on a license plate. That was a genius little line to throw out there.
Fucking – it's Macho Man, dude. Come on. He does no wrong.
The cream of the crop.
He is. The cream of the crop. The number one man in the guy, the galaxy. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I'm the man. Uh-huh. All right. Loser must bow match. Junkyard Dog and Holly Race.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Even though, like, I know a lot of people, like, shit on Harley Race for this era of his career. And, you know, JYD was just, like, this coked up, fat, black guy. You know, back when he used to be ripped and chiseled and cut in the fucking Mid-South. But this was still a fun match. I enjoyed it.
I got to point out, it was family movie night. We're watching WrestleMania 3 the other night. And the wife sees Moolah in the back cutting a promo with Bobby Heenan and Holly Race.
The queen of wrestling.
And she's like, "Is that Moolah?" I go, "Yeah." "How old is she in this?" I was like, 106. Yeah. It was nice seeing Moolah with the crown. That was pretty good. He tells Moolah to watch the crown and shit. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Because she was going to crown whoever won the match with the crown.
Yeah, clearly. So prior to the match, Mean Gene interviews Heenan, Race, and Moolah. Moolah predicted that the Junkyard Dog would have to bow to the king, and he's supposed to. Bobby gave Moolah the crown again, like I said, told her to put it on the king's head after the match, as only the queen of wrestling can do. JYD came to the ring with a big ovation. Alright, this match, I mean, like Dave said, Junkyard Dog's out of shape. Holly Race has come to the end of his career.
It's a quick match. There weren't many matches that went over 7 minutes.
No, not at all.
Event or the main event IC title were the only matches that were
pretty much. He unsuccessfully tried to give the dog a falling headbutt. And following that, he recovered and gave JYD a terrible belly-to-belly suplex. Not one of Holly Race's better belly. Let me tell you something. If you see Holly Race from, like, 1970 to, like, 1983 throw a belly-to-belly suplex, he could knock the guy's spine out. Apparently that wasn't the case tonight on that night.
Hey, man, I give him credit for lifting that fucking 300-pound slab of humanity and dropping him on the fucking mat.
He said 300-pound slab of humanity.
Yeah.
Was. was distracted by Bobby Heenan to get the win. Due to the stipulation, of course, now he has to – he did a little bow.
He did a curtsy, too.
He did a curtsy, he bowed, and then he hit Holly Race with a chair.
Yeah.
So
– hey, man, he bowed to no king, no queen.
That's right.
Only to the man above.
I am the king, and the Junkyard Dog will bow to me in servitude. Like, do I do a good Holly Race?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right. Your next match was the Dream Team of Valentine and Beefcake, escorted by luscious Johnny V and the Canadian Strongman, Dave's favorite wrestler, Dino Bravo.
God, give me a break.
Against the fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
The Russos were great at this time.
My kid's the best. He's watching this. He goes, "Aren't they really brothers?" You know, Mike's got the little lisp, not the speech impediment. Yeah. He's like, "Phil, are those really brothers? I'm like, yeah, they're really brothers. They're really good. I'm like, yeah, I know. All right, so.
He's got the Cody Rhodes lisp.
He does, he does. So Raymond Rougeau starts off with the Beefcake. Again, a lot of hot tags by the Rougeau brothers. It was a decent match. I mean, you know, I love Greg Valentine anyway. At one point, Ray Rougeau gets a sleeper on Valentine and was followed up by Beefcake jumping on off top of the ropes and accidentally hitting the hammer with the double axe handle.
Yeah.
The Rougeaus gave Valentine a double team move, but the ref was arguing with Beefcake. The match, of course, ends when Dino Bravo jumps off the top rope and hits Ray while he was trying to pin Valentine.
Yeah, because they hit him with that, you know, their finisher, which at the time didn't have a name because, you know, finishers didn't really have names at that time.
No, not
some sort of, you know, heart attack, whoopee cushion kind of move.
Right. And then rolling Valentine on top of him for the win. Of course, Dream Team argued most of the match. This leads to Valentine and Dino Bravo departing, leaving Beefcake by himself. Hence the whole face turn.
Which I didn't understand that. It just looked like, you know, they got out of the ring and Beefcake's standing there like an idiot. It's like, all right, get out of the ring and go with them. And he's just kind of standing there like, ooh. Even when I saw this as a kid, it just kind of didn't make any sense. Other, you know, the only way I could make sense of it was the commentary of Ventura and Gorilla.
I actually had that in my notes.
Yeah.
That it just didn't look right. Like, they could have, like, they should have beat him up.
Yeah.
They should have beat him up and then left him there. You know what I mean? Or cut his hair.
And like, exactly.
I'm not going to let nobody cut my hair anymore. Now I'm going to be the man. And then my wife revealed to me that she had a Beefcake poster in her room after this. So
I bet she did.
Yeah, she most certainly did. All right. So your next match, obviously, they show the footage of Roddy Piper getting ready to face Adrian Adonis. This was a nice build-up.
This was a fun build-up. I like the fact that fucking Ace Cowboy Bob Orton was wearing the pink hat, and he was siding with Adonis at the time.
I mean, I like that. The flower shop was hysterical.
And yeah.
I don't care how big Adrian Adonis got, because Adrian Adonis was at this point was like 360, 70 pounds. And Adonis could still work. Jesse mentioned him a whole bunch of times. Gorilla mentioned him a bunch of times. The flower shop was great. This was Piper's retirement match, quote unquote. And on top of that, I remember a Saturday night being an event where they played My Way by Frank Sinatra. And, it had the whole build up to the retirement of Piper. If you remember, I don't know if you remember that, but
I never saw that. The only thing I remember seeing, and this was like somewhat recently before they were doing the 24/7. No, they were doing the 24/7 on demand show. But they would do on MSG, like an MSG classic show. And they had Piper's final match at MSG, which was the 6-man tag elimination, which was the 3 undercard feuds, kind of like going off in like a Survivor Series type match. It was Piper, Steamboat, and JYD going against Adonis, Savage, and Race.
Right, I remember
which
that.
Which was a fantastic match.
I listened recently to another podcast, and someone mentioned that they didn't like Piper as a performer, as a promo guy. He was one of the greatest, top 5.
Yeah.
But didn't like his skill set in the ring. Did you have a problem with Roddy Piper in the ring?
No, I loved Roddy Piper as a kid.
Yeah, I liked him too.
I'll say this. I want to throw this out here real quick. When I was a kid, especially at this time, because I was definitely watching, like, as a kid at this time, I always thought Adrian Adonis was actually a woman. And I was, as a kid, you know, you got, like, that strange trying to figure things out. Like, why is this fat woman not wearing a bra, wrestling half naked in the ring? And I was always disgusted by Adrian Adonis.
So, I thought this was hysterical. And, guys, we're taking calls, by the way. 718-878-6394. You animals want to call in, say what's up, what's your favorite WrestleMania 3 match. Buy posters from Dave. Whatever you want to do. All right.
I got to put them on eBay. I have had no time to put them up. I got to put them back up.
All right, so...
Buy my posters.
Right. So, at this point, this was a PSX brawl. Adonis puts the sleeper on Piper. That's his coup de grace, to say. The Goodnight Irene, as he called it, in the middle of the ring, and released the whole thinking he'd won the match. Jimmy Hart got back in the ring to celebrate. Beefcake comes to the ring to help Piper recover. Now, all of a sudden, Beefcake's a face, you know.
Yeah.
With no build-up to that, which was stupid, like we said in the last segment.
I don't know. As a kid watching WrestleMania 3 for the first time, that didn't have to make any sense.
Right, agreed.
Just him popping up and doing that was awesome. And the fact that he was cutting his hair and the way that he cut his hair, because he just did whatever the fuck he wanted.
Right, so Beefcake comes to the ring. He helps Piper recover. Piper attacks Adonis, puts on his own sleeper hold. Piper gets the victory. And like Dave said after the match, Brutus got in the ring. They cut Adonis' hair. Not only did they cut it, but they held Jimmy Hart down, which is great. After being woken up by Beefcake and seeing himself in the mirror, it was brought to him by Piper holding it up. Adonis hits the mirror and chases Piper out of the ring before leaving the ring in embarrassment. And he used a jacket to cover his head. And
yeah.
They cut his hair. It wasn't just a couple of snips. They cut him down to the skull and left like a chia pet.
Yeah, and his reaction was hilarious. Like fucking Piper holding up the mirror and Adonis like punching the mirror. It still holds up. This whole event still holds up, but that in particular was fucking hilarious. But one thing I found interesting was I think on the Coliseum video version, they didn't show the fan jumping into the ring after the match.
No, they didn't show it on the network either.
Oh,
they cut that.
Oh, it's on my championship edition where the fucking dudes in suits, Blackjack, Mulligan, all of them running in the ring, just taking his kid down, and you know Piper just not reacting to it one bit. But you just see these dudes throwing this kid down in the ring.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, I know the chat room is blazing. Pastor Sadell says Adonis was just nasty looking then. Yeah, the adorable one was, but again, at that big of a size, he could move. He tragically died like a year or two later. He was involved in a car wreck with a bunch of midgets in Canada. Weird, like fucking weird, huh? This weird, just wrestling.
Well, he's a wrestler. He'll be in a car with midgets. It's not.
But like in like Newfoundland, Canada, like you know, I just it's so weird. Like, this is why I love professional wrestling, just for stuff like that.
Just for weird shit happening.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the next match, like AJ Maggott brought up before, was the six man, the Hart Foundation now. Referee turned wrestler. This is his debut as a wrestler.
Yeah.
A dangerous Danny Davis, the tag team champions fighting the British Bulldogs and Tito Santana. Of course, we talked about Davis's bias towards heel wrestlers led to the Bulldogs not only losing the tag titles.
Yeah.
But I mentioned Santana losing the IC championship. The Bulldogs had many near falls in this match. It was a really good, I thought it was a solid match.
Well, first off, Davis was suspended for life
as a referee,
and Jesse the Body demanded to be introduced before the match.
That's
and,
right.
In the process, stole Matilda and you know took her away from ringside.
Right. So, good call. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the match goes on near falls. Every one of them was broken up by Jim Neidhart. I wrote that in my notes too. Like, every near fall was broken up by Jim Neidhart.
Yeah. And I think still at this time, you know, we didn't talk about it too much, but one of the reasons why the Hart Foundation won the tag belts was because Dynamite, you know, literally collapsed in the ring, you know, during one of the, Bulldogs title matches against, was it Morocco and Ace Cowboy Bob Orton?
Yeah, I remember that. It was something from exhaustion or something, or...
No, like his fucking back and
yes, that's right, you're right, yes.
Gave out. I think like his back and his legs just gave out. Like he was whipped into the ropes and he just fell down. And the video is on YouTube as well. So they quickly, I remember reading in Dynamite's book, Pure Dynamite. Vince, you know, went to him in the hospital, said he wanted to drop the belts to Sheik and Volkov, and Dynamite refused and, you know, wanted, you know, Hart Foundation to get the belts because, you know, first of all, they're family, and two, they're fucking good. And, you know, hence the title change on Superstars, I believe it was, with the BS Danny Davis ending. But that was also one of the reasons why the Bulldogs never won the belts back, because of, you know, his back injury. And the guy kept wrestling, too. He was in the hospital, but not for too long.
No, so the match, I mean, all three members of the team, of the Bulldogs and Tanner team, had gotten a measure of revenge on Davis after the match.
Yeah.
So all six wrestlers end up in a brawl. Davis recovers and hits Davey Boy Smith with Jimmy Hart's megaphone and pins him for the win.
Yeah.
So not only does they all get their licks on him, but Davis gets the win.
Of all guys.
So,
but, you know, as I mentioned, I'm watching the championship edition of this, the DVD, and they'll have, like, these little videos and, like, fun facts, kind of like pop-up video popping up, and...
I want to see that, man. You got to show that to me.
Yeah, I'll get you a copy. But there's, like, a video of Vince, you know, talking about Gorilla Monsoon and, you know, just how knowledgeable the dude was. But I thought it was funny when he gets to Ventura, he was like, he's just all right. And then the video cuts off.
Yeah.
And another interesting little like thing during this video was they had Edge talking about how he was listening to he was getting updates about WrestleMania 3 on the radio. Like he just was glued to the radio, couldn't afford a pay-per-view or anything like that. His family couldn't afford it, and just listening to it on the radio, getting updates.
You can listen to it on a radio in Canada? I didn't know that.
Well, it wasn't being broadcasted, but they had, I guess, like some sort of regular, like a news announcer or something like that, you know, announcing like, so, you know, Hart Foundation and Danny Davis won the match.
The only time I ever heard about wrestling on the radio was in 1990, I want to say two, maybe three. When did Andre pass away?
92. No, 93.
They announced his death on an overnight radio show on WFAN here locally in New York, sports network station, talk radio. And they do a sports update every 20 minutes to the hour.
Wow.
And they announced that Pro Wrestler Andre the Giant died. And I was lying in bed, you know, listening to my sports, my shows, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy up there, I was like, holy, I couldn't believe it. Like, not only because he's dead, but I heard on the radio. I'm like, this is crazy. So, yeah, I never knew radio was a medium for wrestling back then in other places.
Well, it was even a medium during the mid-90s because they had WWF radio, which I think was specifically just for, you know, overseas, you know, for the troops and stuff like that.
I remember that. That for the troops. And also... It made a comeback because when I took my nephew to Survivor Series in 11, you can buy a radio, like a WWE, like a headset for like $50.
Uh-huh.
And you can listen to the pay-per-view while you sit in your seat.
Wow.
I thought it was cool, but I wasn't paying $50 for it, so.
Yeah, that's a lot just to hear the commentary.
Right. So, all right. Your next match was, I mentioned before, the Natural Butch Reed's pay-per-view debut against Coco Beware.
He stands for Buckwheat. Yeah. He's got a brother named Stymie.
Dude, how great was that? And you like, save it for the show.
Yeah.
I couldn't, dude. But you know, getting back to radio, there was, in the late 90s, there was a radio show at like 2 o'clock in the morning, locally here in New York. I forget who hosted it. I know Tank would know. Shit. Guys, if you remember in the chat room. But anyway. All right. So Butch Reed's pay-per-view debut against Coco Beware. Reed wins the match with a roll-up after a high cross body from Coco.
And surprisingly, Coco Beware's illegal Michael Jackson envelope gloves didn't make a difference in this match.
No, not at all. Because after the contest, Reed's manager, the Doctor of Style, Slick. How awesome is Slick, by the way?
He's the man.
He is the man. Slick gets in the ring and attacks Coco with his cane. But now Chico Santana comes out of nowhere, quickly bum rushes the ring and stops Slick and rips the friggin' clothes off of him.
If wrestling wasn't homoerotic enough, Chico Santana just had to love Slick so much, had to put his fingers through his clothes and just tear him off.
To the person asking me in the chat room what station, it was WFAN. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday into Sunday. It was like the mid to late 90s. It was like, I forget the name of the show. It wasn't Joe Pedicino, but I did find a Joe Pedicino clip. I'll put it on Facebook tomorrow. Of them reviewing WrestleMania 3, and him, Gordon Soley, and Bill Apter were, like, you know, guessing who was going to win the matches.
Hey, what's this Tony C saying racist stuff? Talk about Coco, talking about Slick being stripped naked. It was a Mexican guy doing it. They're a minority, right?
I don't have my. Where's your bell? Thank you. I need that bell. I need a bell.
This match is scheduled for one fall, and it's a black-on-black crime.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Steve Summers, dude. It was an actual wrestling show. They simulcasted it. They simulcasted it for the fan for like this time slot, like 2 a.m. I'll find out for my boys during the week. I'll ask him. We'll just go to his house, listen to it when we come back from the club. Okay. Oh, the Knicks won tonight. There you go. Thank you guys for the sports updates, by the way. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
You guys know Phil can't pay attention to sports and do a wrestling show at the same time. Thank you for posting that. All right.
I want to add this. You know, during the Reed Coco Beware match, they had like a little video pop up with Gorilla Monsoon talking about how they were in the Eagle's Nest. And I always wondered, for like those huge shows, can people even fucking see from those seats? You know, like the fucking Bob Uecker seats. And He actually talked about, you know, their view from where they were. They were high up. And he talked about that they could not see shit. That they had, like, thankfully for the monitors that they had watching, you know, because they got to call the play-by-play by what's going on the TV.
Right.
But if it weren't for those TVs, they wouldn't be able to see anything. How incredible is that?
No, it's pretty incredible the way they structured all that.
But there's people that are buying tickets that are sitting, like, you know, on almost a similar level. You know, granted, they got like the screens, you know, for people to watch. But man, like, spending $20 or whatever to watch a screen for 3 hours.
I don't know.
Man. Anyway,
it's a good point though, dude. It's again, it's that's something we'd have to get an insider with and get somebody on that was like a cameraman or something like that. We have to make friends. Yeah. All right. AJ Maggot, thanks for hanging out with us. He's leaving the chat room.
Thanks, AJ.
Bloke Show, check him out. Good shit. All right, so now your next match, arguably the best match in WrestleMania history.
Besides Warrior and Savage.
Well, Hogan Andre, Hogan Warrior. This, I mean, technically, this was the best match ever. Well, not maybe.
I'll agree with that just because of, you know, how many careers this match started. You know, how many dudes, you know, say that, you know, they pattern their lives, you know, their style, their career, even wanting to be a wrestler after seeing this match. Like, Jericho even said when he was a kid, you know, him and his friends would imitate this match move for move. Right. Look where he turned out.
Like Dave mentioned before, this is one of the longest matches of the night. It went nearly 15 minutes. At one point, Savage was going to use the bell again as a weapon.
Yeah.
But he was stopped by George Steele, who knocked him onto the top rope. Savage then attempted to give Steamboat a scoop slam. Steamboat reversed into a small package. But before that, there was like 17 different near falls.
It was actually, according to the championship edition, it was 20 near falls total.
Okay, so that was close.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When you say this is the best technical match in WrestleMania. Listen, you could sell me on Owen and Bret. You could sell me on Razor and Shawn Michaels. You could sell me on Austin and Hart. You could sell me on The Rock.
Michael Angle.
Yeah, Michael Angle. Or the hell was I going to say? Not or, was it Austin and Austin Rock? Just like you could sell me on those matches too, and I'm not disregarding them. But the hype to this wasn't as big as Hogan and Andre,
but it was still huge.
Yeah,
I'll say this. You know, one of my favorite interview moments with Savage was immediately after their match on Superstars, where he dropped the bell. Mainly because this was like the only time I've ever seen something like this. Was he was being interviewed by Bruno Sammartino after the match.
Well, before you even get into that, I don't know if you know this, but Bruno gets involved.
Yeah, that's what I was getting into.
Well, no, I was at the match that followed that at the Garden. It was Savage and, oh, Jesus Christ, I forgot already. Who did Savage team up with? It was Adonis, maybe?
He was teaming up with Adonis and Ventura around that time.
It was against Bruno and Steamboat. No, I think it was Morocco. I think. Oh, dude, I'm. Either way, I was at the match that followed this.
Uh huh.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Finish your thought.
But yeah, well, I'm sure this totally relates to your story. But you know, as you know, Bruno wasn't really active at this point. He was just doing commentary for Superstars.
That's right.
And. He had the distinct honor of interviewing Savage immediately after the incident. And, you know, Savage is talking about, you know, how he's taking great pleasure in what he did. And Bruno snaps and he's like, "You enjoyed this? You enjoyed it?" And
slaps him.
Not just that, but he called him a piece of slime.
Slime, yeah.
"You piece of slime." And then he fucking throws him on the floor trying to choke him and punch him and all that.
If you guys know the living legend, he doesn't swear. So he never swears in his promos.
No, that's why he's calling people pieces of slime.
Slime, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, even if they were wrestlers, they never fucking attacked the talent when they were interviewing them. So this was kind of rare. And that led to a series of, you know, Savage versus Sammartino until, Steamboat came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forget who the hell Savage was teaming with. It's probably either Adonis or Morocco.
It had to be Adonis because I know he was strictly teaming with him because he briefly teamed with Ventura.
It definitely wasn't Ventura. I remember the match distinctly. It was at the Garden. Mm. And the crowd was crazy. That's the first time I saw Bruno. In the Garden.
Was it the last time?
No, because he fought again the next month. Like, there was a series of matches.
Yeah, leading up to that Lumberjack match.
Leading up to the Lumberjack match, yeah. So.
But another thing, too, and you know, we're kind of downplaying it, but you never really had wrestlers go out of their way to really ruin somebody's career. And dropping the ring bell was just kind of like it was almost like death when you saw this go down. When I was a kid seeing this, I was like, how could this guy even continue to wrestle?
I legit thought he hurt Steamboat.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was fixed, I knew it was fixed at that point, I was completely sold on the fact that he hurt Steamboat.
Yeah.
My mom was a big Steamboat fan. And she was, like, very upset that Savage did him dirty. Yep. She was like, you know, this is crazy. This is bullshit. You know, my mom was just nuts about it. So
plus the way that Steamboat played it up. He was just kind of, like, writhing. He was, like, falling off the gurney, all that stuff.
You want to talk about selling it. He sold it.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Steamboat's a fantastic talent. We're going to do a lot of Ricky Steamboat soon.
Definitely.
All right. So Steamboat versus the last attempt into a small package to get to win and becomes the new WWF Intercontinental Champion, marking this the first time in WrestleMania history that the championship changed hands.
Yeah.
Of course, obviously, like I said, this match was considered to be one of the greatest matches in WWE history.
Launched several significant careers. Still talked about today. So I found it interesting. I know – I forgot where I heard it. Somebody was talking about it somewhere. I don't recall where, but on Austin's podcast, he was doing an interview with Regal. And he asked him, like, what do you think about the Savage Steamboat match? And he said he loved it. But when he talked to Ricky Steamboat about it, he realized, you know, why this wasn't like all that great of a, you know, match worker, you know, from Steamboat's point of view. And they just kind of dropped it from there. I know some people were kind of speculating all these different things. Somebody was even mentioning that possibly Hogan was pissed off that they were trying to steal the show. And, you know, since Hogan's friends with Macho Man, you know, nothing happened with him. But a lot of that stuff, the hammer came down on Steamboat, which affected his career later on, losing the title to one of Hogan's friends, Honky Tonk Man. But, you know, all that's rumors. But I found that kind of interesting. And I'm not even sure if Hogan could even really drop the hammer on Steamboat or something like that, because Hogan and Andre, their match was just so huge. For me, I don't really feel that Savage Steamboat could have really stole Hogan and Andre's thunder.
There was so much hype between Hogan and Andre.
Yeah.
Maybe they dropped it because I know Steamboat's work rate at that point was not as great. Not great. Wasn't as fluent as his Mid-Atlantic days. You know, he didn't have to work as hard. He didn't wrestle as much. He wasn't wrestling an hour a night with guys like Ric Flair. And
he was doing more of that fake karate shit in the ring, too.
Yeah. Yeah, passes down made a nice point. Steamboat can sell fridge to an Eskimo. Yeah, he can sell salt to a slug. He's Ricky Steamboat. And Savage was very meticulous. We spoke about that on a couple of podcasts now.
Yeah, and also, too, around this time, Steamboat was having his kid.
So
that was also played into the part of why his role got downplayed. Because according to Steamboat, on some interviews, basically, you know, he wanted to take some time off, and Vince was like, hey, you're the champ, you got to keep going. And that's another, you know, story to throw out there too.
Yeah, you know what, I don't want to know. Here's the deal, and I don't know if they stopped talking about it. I don't think the politics went that far, like you mentioned the Hogan's friends and this, that, and the third. I just think that it's you know, there was so much going on that they think they had to take, you know, they couldn't keep the belt on Steamboat. They had to push somebody else. You know, there were so many guys that were waiting to get pushed at that point.
Honky Tonk Man?
I don't know, dude. Honestly, I'm not a big Honky Tonk guy either. But, you know, right place, right time. Why they kept the belt on him for so long is because they gave Savage they gave him the title push at that point after Hogan. Yeah, after this WrestleMania, the belt goes up, you know, the big swerve, you know. So I mean, there's so many. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out in a shoot interview.
Yeah, I don't know. I found it funny because, you know, not too long after, what was it? Honky Tonk Man was a face, and he was getting booed, you know, out of every building that he was in. So I found it funny that, you know, the dude that was a face, like, probably less than a year before this match, getting booed out of every building and all that kind of shit, and they turn him heel, and he's going against Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, a few matches before the main event.
Your 10th match of the evening, Jake the Snake Roberts taking on the Honky Tonk Man. Jake had his Python Damien and Detroit native Alice fucking Cooper.
What'd you think about Alice Cooper at WrestleMania?
First rock tape I've ever gotten as a kid. I was 6 years old. I got Billion Dollar Babies on 8-track. Mm. And then I got Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, and my life changed forever. So, loved Alice Cooper. Very skinny dude at that point. He was like crackhead skinny.
He was skinnier than Jimmy Hart.
True. True. Steamboat can sell Zach Gowan two shoes.
He can sell a bald woman a comb. I love that one.
He can sell a blind man a hearing aid. Fucking guys are crazy. All right.
He can sell a handless man gloves.
All right.
Steamboat sell. I don't know.
Anyway.
But all right, so short match.
Yeah, Jake goes for the DDT. Honky's manager pulls Roberts' legs, and the Honky Tonk Man rolls Roberts up from behind onto the ropes and gets him for the win. After the match, Roberts narrowly misses Honky Tonk with his own guitar, smashing against the ring post, causing Honky Tonk to run down the aisle, leaving Hart alone in the ring. Alice gets in the ring with Roberts, holding Jimmy Hart into a full Nelson, which was pretty funny, actually. And attacked Roberts with Damian. At that point, Howard Finkel introduces Mean Gene. Mean Gene announces to the crowd that the record indoor attendance is 93,173, which was the biggest indoor record, I think, up until 2010, if I'm not mistaken, if the chat room can help me with that. I believe there was an NBA All-Star game that blew that away with over 100,000 for the indoor.
Wow.
So that record stood for a while. Your next match.
Wait, do you actually believe that was the attendance? Because there's a lot of people out there that said it was like 70.
No, dude. There was. You know who confirmed it for me? The guy who, the NBC producer guy, Dick Ebersole. Like, he was on a bunch of like stuff here locally, and there was a bunch of, like, when the documentary went down and all the other shit. He confirmed it, and locally they confirmed it out there. I remember seeing that like all over the place in like the newspaper and stuff.
You know, that reminds me, I found this you know, now that we're talking about the ticket sales, you know, watching the championship edition, they mentioned that to push ticket sales for WrestleMania 3, the pay-per-view is actually blacked out of the state of Michigan, so you could not watch it on pay-per-view. You had to buy a ticket if you lived in Michigan to see it.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
Ain't that some shit?
So if you were around in Michigan, if you were hanging out with Tim the Toolman Taylor and RoboCop, if you wanted to see WrestleMania 3, you had to buy a ticket. You could not watch it on pay-per-view. They purposely blacked it out so they could push ticket sales.
All right, there you go. There's the there it is. February 14, 2010, the NBA All-Star Game. Broke the indoor sporting event record with attendance of 108,000. See, I was right.
Some shitty ass basketball game broke the attendance record.
Look how long it took, brother. Look, that's impressive.
Who was a part of this NBA All-Star team? I don't see Michael Jordan or Larry.
2010 is only a couple of years ago. LeBron James, probably. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, but all those guys suck.
Your opinion. You're not a basketball fan, so you really.
No. I was a basketball fan back in the good old days.
All right, Gramps, relax.
Next. Magic Johnson and Wilt Chamberlain, come on.
Oh, look at here. All right. Your next match was the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff with the Reverend, the Brother, the Man, the Hour, Power, Mr. Slick.
The Grandmaster of Style.
The Grandmaster of Style, Brother, Brother, Brother. Against the Killer Bees.
With Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
With Duggan.
Refused to let Volkoff sing that atrocious Soviet national anthem because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I was more impressed with the high top yellow sneakers that the Killer Bees had on.
And their cute little socks, matching socks.
And cute little socks. My son says to me, wear their masks, because his figures come with masks. Tank gave Mikey a whole bunch of figures, and the Killer Bees that we have come with masks. Where's the masks? I don't know. Maybe they cashed them in for the sneakers.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
No, I think the masks came later.
Later on, yeah. I just didn't feel like explaining it to him at that point. I was just too tired.
When he gets older, you can tell him about that.
So like Dave says, Jim Duggan comes out with his 2x4.
It's the match.
Not going to sing. All right, so while the match ensued, Duggan stayed at ringside. Iron Sheik locks on the infamous camel clutch on Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, making him humble.
Which is funny because the Sheik always talks about how he slapped the fucking camel clutch on B. Brian Blair at WrestleMania 3. And he said he was going to like fuck him up the ass in the middle of the ring in front of all those 93,000 people.
He always wants to fuck people in the ass. And then he follows it up with, I would never do that because it's not the Muslim way.
Yeah.
On Howard Stern.
And then he calls people faggots like that fag Michael Jordan. And then he corrects himself.
Michael
for
Jackson. Yes, I fuck.
That faggot Michael Jordan. I mean Jackson.
Dude, I'll tell you, it was so great watching him today. I found a soundboard, an Iron Sheik soundboard that I want to download. But anyway, Duggan with his fucking 2x4, with Old Glory on the little flags on him. So the unsuspecting Sheik gets him across the back with the 2x4, right in front of the referee, resulting in the Iron Sheik and Volkov winning by disqualification.
And you know, according to Dynamite, they could have been the tag team champs again, but Hart Foundation got the win down the road.
All right, so now we're at the main event. This was the
main event for this evening.
Now, biggest main event in sports entertainment history at that point. Howard Finkel introduces Mr. Baseball Bob Uecker. And the guest timekeeper is tonight's show host, Mary Hart.
She was actually good on commentary for this.
I enjoyed both of them, Bob Uecker as well. Again, guys, yeah. I know, Dave, you're not a big sports guy, but he does a really good job on baseball as well.
I bet he does. He was great on Mr. Belvedere. So
I love that show, dude.
Yeah. Had a good song, too.
Man, China, never made it before. Okay. Wayne Dropkick Jacket. Anyway, let's get into the match here. A lot of trash being thrown in the ring and on the aisles with these fucking fans the entire night. I forgot to mention that.
Well, like, a lot of people hated Andre at this point.
But, like, it's again, like, even with the other matches, there were so many people throwing things, like these savages. Like, fucking, I hate that.
I always love people throwing trash. It just showed, you know, how pissed off the fans actually were, you know, for this guy, for the giant betrayal.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's all right. So let's get into the match. Two minutes into the match, at least Hogan goes for a body slam.
Yeah, a lot of people said he was he got the three, he got counted down for it. I'm sure Tony C's got something different to say, but. You know, Andre Heenan said the shoulders were down.
No, I don't know about that. No, I really don't know about that. I thought he kicked out. So, of course, he goes to attempt. He was unable to. I guess he nearly lost the match, you want to call it that, I guess, because it was like 2.5.
Well, it was a pretty... It was a close call. Let's put it like that. A lot of people thought the match was going to be over right then and there because he towering weight of Andre the Giant, that slab of humanity crashing down on the Hulkamania right there in the ring. A lot of people thought it was going to be three. And Hogan got his shoulder up, you know, like a nanosecond before the three count. So, and you know, you can even tell with the Ventura. He was like, is that two or is that three?
All right.
So it was a close call for early on in the match.
Oh, look who's calling in.
Oh, who is it? Tony C, I bet.
So now you wait to call in? Could you wait till the main event? Is that what you're running your mouth all night in the chat room, and now you're gonna come in here and cause trouble? Is that what you're gonna do?
That's right.
He kicked out.
I did say he kicked out. You know what I'm
Phil
saying?
Phil said he kicked out. You know, I was going to sit on the sidelines and just, you know, hang out in the chat room. And then not Phil, but Dave had to throw down the ultimate challenge and talk about Andre possibly winning this match. Not going to happen, my friend.
You know,
not going to happen.
I mentioned
it didn't happen because Hogan won the match.
I did mention this before, though. I pulled up an old clip of the Joe Pedicino show with Gordon Solie and Bill Apta, and they were like divided. Like Bill picked Andre to win by swerve. Pedicino picked Andre. I'm sorry. Pedicino picked Hogan, and Gordon Solie picked Andre also. So everybody was picking Andre except for Joe Pedicino, and obviously Tony C. But before we get into the end of the match, here's the deal. I don't think in my lifetime has a match been billed like this ever.
Yeah, because it was like, how's Hogan going to win, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, here's Andre the Giant. Never said boo. Never said, I want anything. All of a sudden, I want a championship title man in WrestleMania. And all of a sudden, it's like, and all of a sudden, it's like the heavens opened up. And not like for me, I'm just like the heavens, the wrestling god heavens opened up, and like the promoters were all like playing with themselves. Like, I can't believe this is happening, you know? And Vince McMahon sat on a gold mine. Let's be honest. He, you know, forget about taking a chance 2 years ago. Now he's taking a chance at WrestleMania, and it's like, forget it. It's the coup de grace. You know, this match made Hulk Hogan. This match made Vince McMahon.
I think it not only made Hogan. Hogan was already made, but I think at this point it just solidified Hulkamania as a force to reckon with, because he did the impossible. Not only did he slam Andre, but he beat him.
Not only that, the deck was stacked against him. He had Heenan at ringside. It's like, he ripped off his shirt and the crucifix. It's like, yo, this may be the end of what we know as Hulkamania.
They even made the belt for Andre before the match.
That was great.
Yep.
I actually played the clip for the pre-show.
Yeah.
They weren't signing the contract until they got the belt for Andre.
Yeah, which was insane. I'm sure that played up to a lot of fans too. Like, hey, we got the belt, you know, for Andre if he wins.
Now, I know people are partial to the wing-tipped, the eagle belt, but I thought that was his best championship belt.
This one here?
Yes, absolutely. That was my favorite World Heavyweight Championship.
The one before the eagle?
Yes, the one right before the eagle, absolutely. The wing one. And we interviewed Dave Millican a couple months ago, the guy who made all these belts. And he said the same thing, and I agree with him. I was like,
he preferred that one?
Yeah. Yeah, because Dave asked him about, there was a belt that was made. Oh, Dave, what was the one that you asked him about that was never, that we saw a picture of that was never on TV?
Oh, the 86 Hogan belt.
Right, the one right before this one, right before this one.
Yeah, it's like fastened after one of the NWA six-man tag titles.
Right, they made for him after they gave the green one up. And then they made this one for him for 87 moving forward. Until the wing belt that at the tournament. So, all right, so let's get into the match. We'll keep Tony C on the line and let him have his glory. They go back and forth. Andre gives Hogan the Irish whip to the far side of the ring, attempts the big boot on Hogan. Hogan then ducks out, comes off the ropes, gives Andre a clothesline, taking him off his feet. And I remember Jesse Ventura going, whoa, he knocked the giant down.
He knocked the big man down.
Yeah, taking him off his feet for the first time in the match. Hogan, of course, takes his asthma attack and he hulks up. At about 7.5 into the match, picks up the big man, all 520 pounds of him, slamming him, and again, like the world stopped.
Yes, it did.
No one has ever slammed him on that stage, on that big of a stage. Now, listen.
And not at that weight, too.
No, yeah. Andre's been slammed before. Hogan actually slammed him in 1980. I know he's been slammed. I know Orndorff apparently slammed him.
Stan Hansen slammed him.
But
Tatsumi Fujinami slammed him.
I think Baba slammed him.
El Connect slammed him.
There's nobody that slammed him on that stage at 500 pounds. And that's it. Bottom line. That was arguably one of the greatest moments of professional wrestling ever.
Also, I think Hogan specifically said it that, because a lot of people were curious how come Hogan wasn't so quick like he was like in earlier in his run, because like he would do like the flying knees and all that kind of stuff. But supposedly he pulled something in his back when he slammed Andre. I think it may have been like the first slam. Like he's talked about in the past that after he slammed him there, like he worked out something in his back, and that kind of changed. He had to change his style a bit. Yeah, he couldn't go at that fast pace like he used to.
So he slams the big man.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. He slams the big man, hitting the ropes, executing his patented leg drop, and getting the win and retaining the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Mm. Yes.
Hands
and then,
down. And then, well, I'll get into. I have a whole aftermath paragraph. But,
oh yeah,
go ahead.
I was gonna say the aftermath was just freaking buffoonery with the Hebners and all that bull jive.
It was plastic surgery.
So Piper goes on to film. Roddy Piper goes on to film. Hell Comes to Frogtown,
and they live.
He made sporadic appearances on television before returning to host Piper's Pit at WrestleMania 5. Continued to be active in pro wrestling at various points for 2 decades, obviously. The first televised match between Andre and Hogan after WrestleMania 3 was the main event on February 5th, 1988, drawing a record 33 million viewers, making it the most watched North American professional wrestling match in history at that time. The angle surrounding the match was after winning the match, Andre ended Hogan's 4-year reign as world champion with the screw job finish involving twin referees Herb and Dave Hebner. Their feud, obviously.
Hebners.
Right. Those damn Hebners on the take, Tony. Right, Tony?
Yep.
Their feud come in.
All three of them.
Their
feud. But the Warrior pinned him right in the middle of the ring.
Right.
Wasn't on the take.
Their feud culminated in the rematch, of course, at WrestleMania 4.
We're not talking about that tonight, Dave.
Part of the tournament. we know what happened in the tournament. Savage continued to challenge Ricky Steamboat for the title across the country. Steamboat lost to the Honky Tonk Man not long after that. Savage became babyface. We know about that feud with Honky. 20 years later at WrestleMania 23, they celebrated WrestleMania 3 by returning to Detroit, showing footage of WrestleMania 3 having Aretha Franklin sing Who, Zoom, and Who, and America the Beautiful, having Kane scoop slam the Great Khali, nobody cares. The 23 had the biggest high rate of any WrestleMania in history, if you believe that, before getting beaten by 28. In 2007, 3 was re-released on DVD. I have that. The DVD included pre-WrestleMania interviews and matches, including the Battle Royal from Saturday Night's Main Event that Hercules won, if you remember that.
Yeah.
The optional pop-up trivia facts about the event. 3 again was re-released on March 12th, 2013. Again, critics talk about the Savage Steamboat match being the best ever. The Pro Wrestling Observer rules that it made it the match of the year in 87. IGN ranked it 6th in the top 20 matches of WrestleMania history. We have it as top 3. Steamboat described the match as the moment in time that defined me as a wrestler.
Mm.
All right. So,
I mean, the whole thing with the Tunney and DiBiase and the Hebners, they screwed them out of the title. It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. He won the title one or two more times. So, I mean, whatever. He
And you forgot about his other persona that was created after WrestleMania 4, leading into WrestleMania 5. Lust Hogan.
Oh, the Lust.
Lust Hogan.
Before he was Chump Hogan, now he became the Luster.
Yeah, it had to be the Lust Hogan. You got lust in your eyes, brother.
Mm. And then he had that stupid fist helmet, too.
Lust Hogan. How can you forget about Lust Hogan, Phil? That's Lust Hogan.
I
lust in your eyes.
You back up that kind of a man, Tony C?
That has lust in his eyes? I mean, hey, Elizabeth wasn't bad to look at. You know, we wouldn't have lust in her eyes. Okay?
Yeah, but it was another man's woman.
I mean, they were on the rocks from time to time, you know. Hope was her shoulder to cry on.
Hmm. There was a time that I honestly thought at this point, you know, leading up to the screw job that Hogan got, you know, a couple of months after, that, you know, I was getting smart to the game. I was a teenager. I was getting hip, and I just didn't think that he could be beat. You know, at that point, after Andre put him over and he beat Andre, I thought to myself, there is absolutely no one that's going to beat him. Nobody. No, seriously. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. I thought Andre was going to win because, again, it was Andre the Giant. Even Hulkamaniacs were like, this is not cool.
But Giants are meant to be slaves.
You goddamn right they are. But the thing is, there was a house divided. Like, people that were Hulkamaniacs that I knew was scared, legitimate scared. This wasn't like, oh my God, there's a big match tomorrow. No, you're fighting Andre the Giant, the eighth wonder of the world, the biggest attraction in pro wrestling, 7'5", 520 pounds. That was the deal. And after Hogan beat him, that's when he was really immortal at that point.
Yes,
he solidified his status as immortal.
That's how I feel about it.
Well, wait a second. At WrestleMania 6, after losing to the Gorilla Monsoon, he said specifically he's taken one step closer.
Forget what Gorilla said, okay? How can you become immortal after a loss? That makes no sense.
I think the spirit of Hulkamania, I think it's, you know, Gorilla Monsoon was a very poetic ring,
yes.
Was a commentator.
Yeah.
I think he politely, you know, put Hogan in that realm of immortality. Listen, gods, you know, in Greek mythology, gods lose fights, but they're immortalized. You know what I'm saying? So now you're immortalizing the greatest, arguably the greatest sports entertainer ever. You know what I'm saying? And I say arguably because his skill set wasn't as great as Ric Flair's, but I'll save that for another podcast. But
screw Ric Flair, but go ahead.
You listen to me.
Wait. Screw Ric Flair. What the hell?
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, don't listen.
He'll never be as big as Hulk. Never.
Listen, I bigged him up. I gave him his props, but he's honestly his skill set. He can't hold a candle to Ric Flair. I'm sorry.
I know he can't wrestle like Ric Flair.
He can wrestle like Ric Flair. He just chooses not to, and he didn't have to. But when the Nature Boy was jet flying styling and profiling,
that'll never be big as Hollywood.
He was Hollywood.
That dude got that pin on Hogan in the Madison Square Garden.
Dude, I was there for that. That was classic. And let me tell you something.
We beat him at Bash at the Beach.
Yeah,
and Starcade.
That's the match I was watching, Dave. I couldn't remember the match
and
before.
And Starcade.
I was watching Bash at the Beach 94. When,
we retired Flair in 94.
In the cage at Halloween Havoc.
Yes.
With Mr. T as the referee.
Jesus
yep.
Christ.
And Sting on commentary.
Sting.
Yeah.
Sting. Yep. And we beat him at Super Brawl 9.
It don't matter. It don't matter. Yeah. Ric Flair is still the greatest wrestler of all time.
Hey, Tony C. What about King of the Ring 93?
Well, we beat Yoko at Mania 9, so there.
Yeah, but that happened after.
It doesn't matter.
And you know what? Hogan didn't slam him, and he got that leg dropped on his face in the three count.
Hey, yo,
that's
no.
Okay.
Well, I love Hogan, but I just want
to... It took a fireball to beat us. That's okay. Anytime we lose, it's shenanigans.
Tony
Even
C
the Warriors.
Like he was in the ring with him.
That's right. I'm like Adrian on Rocky. I was in the battles with you. You didn't fight him by. He didn't fight him by himself.
Anyway,
I'm gonna take a surfer line. How many vitamins you got left, Tony C?
Yeah.
Not about the vitamins. And Surfer is the bigger Cena mark than I ever be a Hogan mark. Okay.
I don't know.
Be a bark for
Surfer's
something.
If Cena turns heel, Surfer's gonna cry. So he can't talk.
Anyway,
but Mega Powers, don't give me the business about my guy. Okay, he's the biggest name in the business. He may not be the biggest best wrestler. Okay. But he's the biggest name in the business.
Listen, Tony C, I'm only giving you shit because I know how big of a Hogan fan you are. Even though he wore that fist helmet, even though he had that Phantom of the Opera mask when he was Darkness Hogan, even though he had that sword, even though he was beating 10 guys in the Tower of Doom match, even though there was Pasta-mania...
It's called the Doomsday Cage match, okay? Yep.
Even though he did Santa with muscles and Three Ninjas.
That's right. He missed a whole lot of nitros because he was filming Three Ninjas, okay?
But I'll say this. I'll always love that Halloween Havoc match when he had the wig on against Macho Man.
In 96?
Yes. That was great. I briefly stopped hating the NWO because he did that.
When he came to the ring from the stands, like the Shield didn't originate that. The NWO did.
Yes.
Yeah. Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
He didn't need a limo like Ric Flair and fancy suits and to say all that crap. And that's why I was tired of.
Hank is saying that I'm a Hogan hater. Actually, I'm a huge Hulkamaniac.
Yeah, Dave's a Hulkamaniac, man.
But I love to, you know, just as much as the next guy, I like to poke fun of Hogan for his little flaws and, you know, not
no,
get...
No, let's be honest, Dave. You're a shit stirrer. That's what you are.
That's what he is. Exactly.
You're a line stepper, bro. You're a habitual line stepper.
He'll probably email Phil next week. Let's talk about the Nitro in 98 when Goldberg beat Hogan. Let's go over that. Come on.
Well, we got to go over King of the Ring 93 first.
We got a lot. Listen,
not
man.
The fireball,
listen,
man.
We're only 58 episodes into this thing, man. We have a lot more life to go.
We got some time before we talk about.
We got some time to go, Tony, man. Come on now. We're family now, man. We got a whole bunch of shit to cover.
Yeah, we got time before we talk about how Hogan couldn't slam Yokozuna, you know, stuff like that.
As long as we get to review Bash at the Beach 94, 96.
94 was good. I just watched that. I was just telling Dave, I couldn't remember. I watched that. That was a good card, man. That was a really good card. I enjoyed that.
That was an interesting card, too, because Hogan was the only face that won that night.
Yep.
Johnny B. Badge confetti all over the fucking place.
And that took place right here in Orlando. I was too young. I wasn't able to go, but I did order it on pay-per-view.
That was my first pay-per-view.
Okay. You saw a young Shaquille O'Neal holding up the belt.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal. Hogan had George Foreman.
He had Mr. T, dude.
George Foreman was doing promos with Hogan, building up to the match.
Oh, yeah, to the match.
Yeah, because Hogan
was there.
Yeah, because Hogan slept on the grill.
Yeah,
allegedly.
We had the press conference where Slick Rick was looking nervous, being in the same room with Hulkamania. Yeah, he knew the payback was coming.
Mm.
We owed him from 92, but it's okay. He ducked us.
Yeah.
But we got him back.
I love how we got him back. I love Tony's all in. He's all
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he was right
I'm
there.
All,
he was,
it's gotta he be slammed. All in.
He was slamming Andre with him.
You got people on this network that support people like Jeff Hardy and Sting and John Cena's of the world. No.
Hey, we should be wrapping this up. It's almost midnight.
Exactly, yeah, Phil. I can talk about Hogan all night long.
Yeah. You're not hijacking my show, son. You got your own goddamn show.
Yeah, I know you love the NWO and all, but...
NWO.
Yeah, we're excited about The Rant, man. Tony C hosts every Tuesday The Rant on TheRantEMRadio.com. WrestleMania weekend, like I mentioned before, 2 weeks away. We're stoked. A bunch of stuff going down. All the shows are involved.
Yeah.
We're going to be on each other's shows, calling in, shit-talking. Yeah, we're picking.
That's right, because WrestleMania weekend is going to be a historic weekend. We're going to have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, your word to God's ears, man. We hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, Tony C, you're a big Batista fan, right?
Oh, no. The King of Kings, man. Book it.
Triple. Oh, okay. That's why he kept typing H.
That's right.
His keyboard,
his
bro.
His tan line has went away from around his waist, so he got to get it back.
I thought you were a big Daniel Bryan fan.
Oh, heck no. Damn, I know that goat face.
Yeah.
I'm not a Daniel Bryan mark.
Well, what are you going to do when he wins the world title that night?
He's not. CM Punk is
he's not. He's not. The King of Kings goes back on his throne on April the, 6th, 7th? Book it. It's been 12 years since he's been on the throne. So, been a while, fellas. Get ready. The coronation is coming.
That's hysterical.
Believe it.
It's hysterical.
Believe it. I'm going to let you guys close up shop.
All right, Tony. All right.
Phil, I know we'll probably hear from you Saturday. It's going to be a lot of – I'm going to be spewing a lot of King of Kings on Saturday night, so get ready.
Check out the call-in show Saturday night with Will I Am Morgan, Tony C, Rage. I'm sure Surf will be floating around over there and all the rest of the characters. After I put, that's like my ritual now. I put Wifey to bed, and then I rock the wrestling call-in shows. Check it out every Wednesday night on The Rant. It's a good time. They're crazy, these kids. All right, Tony, see, I'm going to let you go,
all right,
man.
Fellas. Hashtag King of Kings. I'm out.
Hashtag Occupied Throwbacks.
Hashtag King of the Ring 93.
Oh, God. Come on, Dave. I'm out.
Good night.
Later,
good night, Tony.
Yeah, bro. Thanks for calling.
Tony C. Oh, my God. What a fucking character, huh?
Love that dude.
I know, man. He's awesome. All right, Dave, you want to get this going or what?
Yeah, let's close up shop, as the man said.
All right, brother. All right, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are on every week on The Rant, every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Geek Life Radio, Buzzsprout, Audio Brew, Stitcher, iTunes. Shout out to the Wizards. Thanks for Eddie to calling in tonight. AJ Maggot for calling in. Tony C. Shout out to the Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker Podcast, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Fallen Angels, Apex Radio, Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible Pro Wrestling 101. Of course, The Rant every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Wrestling call-in show I mentioned 11 o'clock every Saturday evening. What are you reading at 6 p.m.? Don Tony, Kevin Castle. Thanks for Don Tony everything for his help. Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio, Tattoos and Touchdowns, and our boys over at the Ham Radio Show. Mega Powers?
Yes.
Any closing words, sir?
You know, rest in peace, Frankie, who perished in 2001 when at Coco's home was destroyed in fire.
All right.
Barbecue wings, anybody?
Unbelievable. I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat room tonight. Thank you so much for holding it down. You guys are awesome. Everybody on Facebook. Everybody on the tweet machine. We're having fun, man. We have two more weeks. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Rebook the streak and win a prize.
Yeah, rebook the streak. Tell us, you know, how you would book, you know, the streak match at WrestleMania 30. Email us. And you can win a prize. Possibly King of the Ring 93.
Yeah, possibly. It depends on, you know, but yeah, seriously. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, email us your streak, rebook. And don't forget to pay attention to all the other shows on the networks. It's a good time. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you all adieu. Until next week, WrestleMania 2.
What the world is watching.
What the world is watching. All right? Shout out to Hulkamania tonight.
And Ray Charles.
Yeah. All right, kids, have a good night. We're out of here. Dave, keep a tight ass. Avoid the clap. I said, hey, babe. And take a walk on the good night.
Peace.
All right. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. She said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do